Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Screen. So he's going to be telling us how that is going as they're building it right now. So do listen in. And many thanks to Jeff for helping in the studio. And thank you for giving me part of your day. Remember, we change tomorrow by changing today. And we have to, because tomorrow really matters. Tell a friend. And stay tuned now for the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Just because Congress seems to be moving rapidly toward approval of a $700 billion Wall Street bailout plan, don't get the idea everything's going to go smoothly right away.
I would expect the volatility to continue for a while. I think that this market, through the bounce of 2008, if not in 2009, is going to be extremely challenging.
Stephen Wood at Russell Investments. Today, the wild seesaw continued. The Dow lost nearly 373 points. NASDAQ down about 95. Oil prices shot up to $120 a barrel. And gold cost more than $900 an ounce, up $43.
While congressional leaders in both parties say they want a bailout passed this week, there are a growing number starting to say, wait. Peter DeFazio is a liberal Democrat from Oregon.
We shouldn't be rushed into this. If it takes a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, the world will wait.
There's even more opposition starting to come from conservative Republicans. Senator Richard Shelby, top Republican on the banking committee, said it would be foolish to waste massive sums of taxpayer money on this plan, and Congress should come up with a new one. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Pentagon denies Pakistani claims that ground fire turned around two U.S. helicopters on their way into Pakistani airspace. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer in Islamabad says those who shot at the choppers may not have been directly Pakistani military.
To say that it was Pakistani army is probably going too far. These paramilitaries come under the wing of the Pakistani army, but what they do is not necessarily sanctioned or disciplined by the army.
Meanwhile, a last-minute venue change may be all that saved many of Pakistan's top leaders when a truck bomb devastated an Islamabad hotel where the meeting had been scheduled. Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin meets this week with seven world leaders and former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. She'll be in New York, where the UN General Assembly is meeting. She also plans discussions with humanitarian activist Bono of U2. Early voting starts this week with three states kicking it off today. That is in Savannah. Karen Handel is Georgia's Secretary of State.
Clearly we're expecting a high turnout, and Georgia has been a fast-growing state, so we wanted to have some voting options for Georgians so that we could ease Election Day pressures.
In 31 states, you don't even need a reason to vote early. You just show up and do it. And the Rock Hall of Fame nominees are guitarist Jeff Beck there, plus Run DMC, Metallica, Little Anthony, War, Bobby Womack, Chic, Wanda Jackson, and The Stooges. Proof, says the president of the Rock Hall Foundation, that any artist can be nominated. On Wall Street, the Dow fell nearly 373 points today. The NASDAQ lost almost 95. Commodities up. Gold at 903 an ounce, up 43 bucks. Oil, $120 a barrel. This is CBS News.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
The federal effort, begun in the Clinton years to start algebra in middle school, has evidently been like trying to drink from a fire hose for a lot of kids.
It's a numbers game, and new research shows many students haven't got the right formula. The Brookings Institution says many eighth graders don't have a good grounding in math, and yet they find themselves taking an advanced course in algebra, and their grades show it. Bad news, says William Schmidt, Michigan State University.
Internationally, virtually all children in all countries study algebra in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And so this would leave our children further behind in terms of any kind of international benchmarks.
Math experts agree students need to be better prepared in the earlier grades. Nick Young, CBS News.
Tough times mean people cut back where they can and where they shouldn't, like health care. Prescriptions filled went down in the first and second quarter at an accelerating rate. Doctor's appointments stretched out. Elective surgeries put on hold. And deductibles and premiums for insurance at work are all going up. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Too much at once can sometimes get in the way of beautiful music. It's the same with driving. When there's too much on the road, things aren't so pleasant. And since one CSX train reduces traffic congestion by carrying a load of 280 trucks, fewer things will get in the way of you having a smooth drive. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Today's program is dedicated to the memory of my friend Pam Hamilton. She died this morning of cancer, just 2 months after the diagnosis. And I'm going to miss you, Pam. Show goes on, and we've got a world of hurt to deal with. The response to the market problems is a bailout of incredible proportions and a power grab even greater than that. We're going to devote most of the program today to the Bush administration's response to the problems on Wall Street. And I encourage you to get fired up and get active, because they're going to jam through legislation this week. And if we don't get some things fixed from the Treasury Department proposal, we're talking real fascism in America.
Some people got to have it. Hey, hey. Some people really need it. Listen to me, y'all. Do things, do things, do things. Bad things, will it? Well, you are not. Do things, do things, do things.
On our agenda today, Jim Moore will join us in just a moment, the co-author of Bush's Brain and a great journalist from Texas. Later this hour, Brent Badowski used to work on Capitol Hill, and he's got a proposal saying, let's not give them all the money at one time. We'll hear him out later this hour. Then Cliff Schechter next hour. He's following John McCain with the binoculars. He wrote The Real McCain. And we're going to talk about the missteps of the McCain campaign over the past week and why this mortgage meltdown is all Barack Obama's fault. Ari Melber on the Obama Obama campaign trail will join us next hour, too. And then we open it up for you in the free speech zone in our third hour. And we've got an activist who has agreed to accept your emails to members of Congress regarding this bailout that's going to be rammed through Congress this week. And Judith, who I met at a the Teach Peace event in Sacramento last night, has agreed to be the bundler, not of contributions, but of messages. So we'll talk about that in the Free Speech Zone. It's all ahead. You can call at any time, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. James Moore has been writing in Texas for many years. He co-authored Bush's Brain About Karl Rove with Wayne Slater. And he returns to our program today. He's been blogging like an SOB over there at the Huffington Post. Hi, Jim.
Peter, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little poorer this week than I was a week ago. How about you?
Well, I'm trying to make a living in a cold, cruel world.
Yeah, it isn't easy, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah. Before we dive into this mortgage thing, I just wanted to get a quick comment for you on the effort to get the House to give us an up or down vote on contempt for Karl Rove. I've become friendly with Don Siegelman, the former governor of Alabama, who's a victim of Karl Rove, and he's been pressing really hard. I got another email from him today, because if Congress does adjourn at the end of this week, he would like to see that contempt citation voted out by the full House. What's your sense of this? You think it's pretty far down the list of priorities, and Pelosi was never really interested to begin with?
I don't think she's going to do it. I think that there would be the cry of foul politics, and it would be a distraction. You have to remember that everything they've done over the past several years when the Democrats have taken over, Peter, has been pretty calculated to not look like they're using their political power within Congress to make political gains. I mean, they've stayed away from even seriously considering impeachment of the president, and they've avoided most controversial legislation, and they're trying to get out of there in a way that lets the election happen, and then they can do what they want after that. They just don't want to give the Republicans anything to hold up and say, look at this. These people are political. They don't care about running America. And I think that's the reason there probably won't be a vote on Karl. I don't know anything for certain, but mm-hmm. I'm disinclined to think it'll happen.
Well, I think you're right. And it really troubles me, Jim, because the operative phrase this year has been, well, we need to take that off the table.
Yeah.
So that FISA had to be taken off the table by caving in to the extreme demands of the radical administration. And they had to take the war off the table by giving Bush more money for the occupation for a longer term than he even asked for. And time and time again, this idea of taking things off the table means, oh, we don't want to fight about that because we're afraid we'll lose.
Yeah, I think it's time to put everything on the table. I think that people are beginning to be more and more concerned, not just about this election, but about the actual survivability of the economy, of our republic, of our democracy, of this problem. I think, Peter, runs in a psychological way much deeper than just what we're reading about in the newspapers and seeing on the television yak shows. I think people are disturbed in a deep, deep way that is making them actually question the future in a way that we haven't done before. We've usually talked about this kind of stuff as an electoral cycle. Well, it's like this every 4 years, but it's not. There's too many bad things that are out there that are going on right now that are conspiring and reaching a critical mass and creating a kind of cascade of awfulness that has scared a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. And, Jim, just one more thing about Karl Rove. He was in Sacramento on Friday giving a talk to a private group. And Bill Lachemacher and some other local activists printed up copies of the Conyers subpoena for Karl Rove and passed them out to people as they were entering the auditorium. But they were unable to actually contact Mr. Rove himself. I guess you got to go to Fox News to get an appointment with him.
He's hard to find. He's hard to talk to. He's hard to even see, actually. A couple of my friends who were at the Republican National Convention, who are reporters from Texas, have known Karl forever. Karl was walking down the hallway, and they were trying to actually just go up and say, hey, and ask him how he's doing. And these are people who've treated him with a certain degree of benevolence through the years. And and there were about four security guards surrounding Carl, and nobody could get close. These guys had their arms out keeping people away. I imagine being Carl Rove these days isn't exactly pleasant, even without this subpoena. Everywhere he goes, people treat him with disdain and disrespect, unless you're the big money guys who pay him money to come talk to your quote-unquote private groups.
Talking to Jim Moore here on the Peter B. Collins Show, the co-author of Bush's Brain and a longtime reporter based in Texas, knew Bush before we did. And, Jim, I want to start off with the most troubling language that I've seen in the bailout proposal that surfaced from the Treasury Department on Saturday. It is a single sentence in Section 8 of the document. And where you blog at the Huffington Post, I was just pulling up your piece, and to their credit, in huge type, huge font across the homepage of the Huffington Post, is this single sentence. And it says, decisions by the Secretary, pursuant to the authority of this act, are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. Now, Jim, I'm reconciling to the fact that we're going to get hosed here financially, but I refuse to be hosed constitutionally. And this reads like a David Addington signing statement, only instead of waiting for the signing ceremony to try to backfill, they decided that they could be aggressive and just put this in right up front.
I think that it's clearly hilarious that the Republicans are talking about this. You know, it's exactly like this administration and the way they have run things. But bear in mind, Peter, and I think your listeners should as well, that this is the poison pill. The Republicans put that in there strictly for political reasons. They want to get Democrats on record as being against the bailout. They want Democrats to go on record and say, I don't want to help out Wall Street. They're trying to give them a big fat reason to do it that stands out there. And so they put what amounts to a poison pill in the legislation to use it as a political hammer.
As they lectured before they even revealed this language, saying, you know, with the finger pointing from the president Friday morning at the White House, don't try to load this up with any of those liberal gimmicks. Well, the Constitution is not a liberal gimmick. And to give this kind of unprecedented power to the Treasury Secretary and then immunize him or her from any oversight or accountability, it's fascist, Jim. I can't find another word for it.
Yeah, well, they've gone from socialism for the rich to welfare to the rich to fascism. I mean, there are obviously agencies that have rulemaking authority in this country, but that rulemaking authority has the oversight of Congress and of the president. And what this legislation is essentially doing is saying we're going to create a czar who's going to oversee the markets in a way that you shouldn't worry your little old head about. And yeah, we might need your tax money from time to time, but we don't have to bother you anymore with asking you for it. We're just going to go ahead and do what we think is right instead of going before Congress. Frankly,
well, and this is even a step up from the term czar that we've used in the media in this country. We had a drug war czar and an energy czar.
A dictator.
Yeah, this is an absolute authority with no accountability.
Yep, I don't disagree with you, and I hope that the Democrats stand up, and I hope the right-thinking Republicans will stand up and say, this is not going to happen. We're going to have oversight. I mean, we got in this mess because we didn't have oversight.
Yeah.
We voted against oversight, and now they're coming back and saying, no oversight.
Well, and the implication is that the Secretary of the Treasury will hire a bunch of people who are recently unemployed on Wall Street who caused all these problems and say, you are the guys we're tapping to fix it.
Yep, and they're the guys who are getting the bailouts. So those are the people who are basically able to make huge, monumental, biblical mistakes with their company and their investors' money and screw it up completely and able to go back into business because the taxpayers are giving them money to go back into business. There's no punishment involved at all, and now they're creating a piece of work, a piece of language that basically allows them to mind the store that they're about to screw up again.
We're going to continue with James Moore in just a moment. Read his work at HuffingtonPost.com, and we'll talk about his recent post, which
says it's not Barack Obama's fault the way John McCain says. More like Phil Graham, the former senator from Texas, Enron. Yeah. That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
I'm Todd Hornick, candidate for Monterey Superior Court Judge. As a Monterey prosecutor, I have worked locally to protect the safety of our community since 1994, and I will continue to do so as your next Superior Court Judge. I am proud to ask you to join me, along with Monterey County mayors, councilmen, firefighters, labor unions, gang enforcement officers, bailiffs, and investigators in selecting local experience for our local courts. Learn more at ToddHornickForJudge.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Time to paint your house and protect your investments. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144. I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
If you open the newspaper one morning and you read that a school bus going across the railroad track stalls and it's hit by a train, if you read in the newspaper that locally a school bus was hit by a train, well, you're in Europe because we don't fund mass transit or education here. But, yeah. But forget that flaw. Forget that flaw in my joke. If you read about that in the newspaper, God forbid you see that, but that would be a tragedy. A school bus hit by a train, a tragedy. Now, a guy is poking a tiger in the face with a stick, and the tiger mauls him and drags him off stage. That is not a tragedy. That is a consequence. That is a result of your actions. Thank you very much, Planet Cruise.
That's Johnny Steele. I'm Richard Stockton with a minute from the Planet Cruise Comedy Hour.
3 minutes after the hour, our music of the moment from Neil Young. It's called Crime in the City. And yeah, you've seen all the crime scene tape around Wall Street brokerage houses, right?
They'll get to the bottom of this. They'll find the guilty parties and give them a bailout. We continue with James Moore, co-author of Bush's Brain. Read his posts at HuffingtonPost.com. And, Jim, I want to tee up here to talk about the piece that you published over the weekend. And if I could, as you talk about Phil Graham, also talk about the way McCain is using rove tactics to demonize Obama for the very sins that John McCain is much more guilty of.
Yeah, it's funny, except for the fact it's horribly, horribly sad. And the Democrats are letting him get away with it, as far as I can tell at the moment. But this mess we're in now dates back, of course, to the savings and loan scandal of the 1980s, when the SNLs fought for and used highly paid lobbyists to convince the Ronald Reagan Republican administration and Congress that savings and loans should not be regulated. And they increased the amount of insurance that deposits got from $40,000 to $100,000, and it prompted speculative investments that were not intelligent and very risky and led to a collapse. And they fought any kind of regulation in such a way that they went to one of the bigger lenders, one of the bigger SNLs, went to John McCain and said, hey, talk to your we want to talk to you, so you'll talk to the Federal Home Loan Bank Board to stop these regulations. And
that's Charlie Keating. He was in my dad's high school class in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that's Charlie Keating, and McCain became one of the Keating Five. And John McCain took 9 trips on his airplane to the Bahamas, and he and his wife Cindy and Cindy's dad invested $360,000 in a Keating shopping center in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And a year before, John McCain went to the federal government and said, leave the SNLs alone. Of course, we know the story of what happened is that they ended up collapsing, and in Charles Keating's operation, there were more than 20,000 elderly people whose life savings disappeared.
Yep.
And Charles Keating went to prison for 5 years, and John McCain was accused of bad judgment. And now the year he entered Congress was the year that all of these regulations were tossed out in SNLs. And then in 1999, I think, was the year that the Glass-Steagall Act was repealed, and this is the act that prevented banks and insurance companies from getting involved in the whole idea of investments and credit swaps and that kind of stuff. And McCain was a part of that, along with his buddy Phil Graham, to repeal Glass-Steagall. And then 2 or 3 years later, Phil Graham comes along and passes something called the Commodity Futures Modernization Act, which was basically saying, now that we have all these institutions speculating on credit and subprime mortgages and bundling them and swapping them, we don't want to slow down this great growth and progress with any type of regulation, so no regulations on all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the critics are saying, well, the Democrats are not without sin in all of this, and I think that that's kind of a fair statement, but you have to remember that that was a Republican-controlled Congress, and in fact, Bill Clinton did sign those two laws, but the fact is that they were veto-proof and had more than a two-thirds majority when they passed, and everybody was all fired up about the internet bubble and the booming economy and irrational exuberance. And I should also say that Alan Greenspan was a part of this. Alan Greenspan was in favor of the repeal of Glass-Steagall, and he led the charge to get rid of regulations on the savings and loans. And
Jim, continue. Just about 45 seconds left. Go ahead.
And the truth is, we got stuck in the savings and loan, Peter, and we're going to get stuck on this. And unless we all contact the people who represent us and tell them we're not going to put up with it, it's done. Let them collapse. Let them go out of business. We'll live with the consequences, and they can, too.
Wait a minute. Are you suggesting to let the free market system play out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, you socialist.
Gotta cut me off.
You dangerous lefty.
Yep.
Jim, thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
My pleasure to be with you, Peter.
All right. James Moore, read his work again. His current commentary available at HuffingtonPost.com. We're going to keep talking about this. Brent Badowski will join us next. Used to work on Capitol Hill, and he's got a plan to essentially give them an allowance a little bit at a time. But I'm going to keep hammering at this. The most important issue here is the constitutional matter. Read it for yourself online. Section 8 of the Treasury Department proposal is a power grab of unprecedented proportions.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
Do you remember the Southern California grocery worker lockouts and strikes of 2003 and 2004, which involved 70,000 workers and 900 supermarkets? Last week, a jury handed down a 23-count indictment alleging 8 current and former Ralph's supermarket managers involved in the lockout had sought to hire union workers to cover shifts during the official lockout. According to a statement released by the U.S. Attorney's Office, the covert rehiring of locked-out workers was intended to better Ralph's position in the 2003-2004 labor dispute by, among other things, mitigating the financial and operational hardships of a complete lockout. In 2006, Ralph's pled guilty that the company rehired 19,000 union workers during the lockout. A GM plant with a more than 60-year history will be closing its doors at the end of this week. The plant in Doraville, Georgia, has been operating for 61 years and will lay off 1,000 workers. GM has slowly slashed jobs at the plant. It previously employed 3,100. The closure of the plant also marks the end of an era for Georgia. The Doraville plant is the last American auto assembly plant in the state. The remaining 1,000 workers can take a buyout, enter the company's job bank, and wait for a new job to open up, or move to another GM plant. On Saturday, Democratic and Vice Presidential candidate Senator Joe Biden told an audience of coal miner families in Castlewood, Virginia, that Republican presidential candidate John McCain has assisted the Bush administration in undermining regulatory safeguards that directly impact the labor movement and middle-class workers. He tied the whittling away of mining oversight and the tragedy at Sago Mine to the current tragedy occurring on Wall Street. He said Wall Street has similar issues with the slashing of regulations. He was introduced by United Mine Workers President Cecil Roberts. Roberts touted Obama as a candidate who supports American workers, not Chinese communist workers.
Here is today's economic report.
Premiums and deductibles for workers are predicted to rise by 9% in 2009. A survey by Hewitt Associates predicts workers will contribute nearly 8% more to premiums in 2009, on average $162 per month. Companies will also see an increase in what they pay for health insurance costs, jumping 6.4%. On average, companies will pay $8,863 per employee.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Mm-hmm.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Yeah, you know, Bush tells us that Wall Street got drunk. He was the bartender. The drinks were on the house.
George is in the jungle, knocking on the door. Come to get your children, want to have a war. Come on. Lord, you better run. It's a long, dark night before this thing is done. Brown is in the outhouse, Katrina on the line. Go for it, it's after, but George is there to fight. Come on. Lord, you better run.
And the October surprise has already arrived. Surprise, surprise, surprise. No more money left for health care reform. Nope, no universal coverage. Sorry. Yeah, we drowned that sucker in the bathtub. 888-5, Peter B., your calls and comments are welcome as we continue our coverage of this unprecedented bailout with the incredible power grab blended in with it. Brent Podolsky joins me now. He blogs at The Hill. That's the Hill newspaper in Washington. And he's a former staffer on Capitol Hill, worked for people like Lloyd Bentsen, a great senator from Texas who served as Secretary of Treasury for a time. And Brent also went to the London School of Economics, so right off the bat, he knows more than I do about this stuff. Brent, welcome to the program today.
Good to be here.
Well, it's good to talk with you again, and you have an interesting five-point plan that you published at thehill.com, and we'll get into that in a moment. But I know you got an email from me this morning. You were kind enough to acknowledge it, and I really feel it's important to sound the alarm. Maybe the Democrats are aware of this and are working to modify the incredible aggressive language that is in Section 8 of the Treasury Department's proposal. But I'll read it again, one sentence, 30-some words. Decisions by the Secretary, pursuant to the authority of this Act, are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. In your years in Washington, Brent, have you ever seen an attempt to circumvent the Constitution in this manner and end the separation of powers and the historic oversight that the courts and the Congress have of the executive branch?
Well, not since torture and wiretapping.
Uh-huh.
This seems to be the flavor of the generation here with Bush. I will say that I think that particular provision is going to get beaten back. A lot of Republicans, including some conservatives, including people who will not support the bailout, also worry about that provision. It is a typical grab for power. This whole thing reminds me of voting for the Iraq War resolution right before the election in 2002.
Yeah.
And it also reminds me of the Patriot Act when the 530 members of the House and Senate didn't know what the hell they were voting on.
And I'll up your ante, the Military Commissions Act right before the election of 2006 and the so-called Protect America Act that just had to be enacted before the summer vacation in 2007. This is a tactic that has been used before. And so we have this crisis that must be addressed, has to be processed and passed this week. And then they try to include this kind of inflammatory, unconstitutional effort that is consistent with their thinking about the unitary executive and Cheney's whole desire to strengthen the executive branch.
Yeah, it is amazing. Now, let me tell you what I am suggesting, and right now I'm a voice in the wilderness. I'm going to have a column in the paper tomorrow, and I'm actually, the things I'm going to talk about tonight, I'm a columnist for the Hill newspaper. That means it's in the paper, and everyone in the House and Senate, among many others, actually reads what I'm suggesting. And I've been talking to people today behind the scenes, hoping to move the ball a little bit. I am suggesting that instead of doing a $700 billion bailout in any form right now, that they should just do in Congress about a third of it right now, add the conditions in terms of the separation of powers, and add some economic stimulus, and then wait a couple of months to plan what we do next. Instead of just rushing in Paul Mall and just bent to hell to get this done right now, to do a down payment on it to stabilize the markets, a little stimulus to help the middle class and the poor, but don't do any more than a third of it right now. Because the truth of the matter is, we don't know what the hell we're doing. This is the most half-assed process I have ever seen in my life. This whole crisis from the beginning, from the banks, the president, the Fed, the Treasury, and the Congress, going back 2 years when I started warning about this stuff, has been the most half-assed process.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping they do, and right now I'm a voice in the wilderness, but we'll see. There are meetings going on right now on both sides that could be interesting.
Well, I can hear them
slow the whole thing down a little bit.
I can hear them saying, Brent, that's a half-assed idea. I support it. I don't think that we should write another blank check. And we know what we don't know. And here, gosh, am I channeling Donald Rumsfeld? The known unknowns here are staggering. We don't know how bad the real problem is in these securitized bundled mortgages, and we're going to turn to the very people who created this mess and say, fix it for us and send us a bill.
Well, yeah, we're going to reward them financially for making the mess. We're going to punish the victims of the mess, the average American people.
Mm-hmm.
And where I'm a little bit different than just about everybody else right now is I'm against anything that's $700 billion right now. I think you do enough to calm the markets and enough to stimulate the economy, but you don't go crazy. And here's the real problem here, Peter, besides the social inequity and besides the grab of power, even if we solve those 2 points, if we do $700 billion right now, and Barack Obama's elected president, the only thing he'll be able to do is to clean up Iraq and Afghanistan and raise taxes to pay for this stuff.
Oh, yeah, there goes my health care.
No social agenda, no federal government, no economic policy for average Americans. And that is something we should never give up without a lot of thought and a lot of fight.
Now, Brent, I need to ask, in your opinion, I'm not trying to wiggle out of this and head into denial and say that we don't have serious problems. I know what the run on the mutual funds was last week, like most people do. And I realize the situation that has been created here. But is it the kind of crisis that Paulson has been telling the people on Capitol Hill? Or are, you know, we crying wolf once again in order to jam through a package that the Bush administration wants that will benefit its cronies more than anyone else?
Well, it is a significant crisis. I don't agree with those who use words like depression. I think that's like the mushroom cloud over New York. But it is a serious problem. The point is, though, that what I suggested to top Democrats this morning is ask Paulson how fast he's going to spend the money. What is his timetable for the $700 billion? And I will guarantee you he's not going to spend it all in a month. So there's no reason we can't slow the train down, give him money to deal with the real problem right now in terms of some stability and confidence in the market among the public, do something on top of that to stimulate the economy. And by the way, we ought to rewrite and reform the bankruptcy law. The original one was a total disaster.
Amen.
And the people that pushed that one through, with, by the way, some Democratic support.
Like Joe Biden, yes.
It's an outrage. And we can do some bankruptcy reform, and you can do that pretty quickly in terms of foreclosures being prevented or minimized. You can do some economic stimulus. You can do maybe $200 billion of the $700 that they want. That will carry us forward for a good 2 months and allow everybody to step back and calm down and get a handle on what we're doing. So the answer to your question is it is a real crisis. There's no question about it. But this is not a mushroom cloud thing where you go to war in the middle of the night not knowing what you're doing right before an election. That is an absurd and typical distortion. And I'll tell you right now, because I've looked more than one congressman or senator in the eye recently and say, what do you know about credit derivatives? And they kind of look at me with glazed eyes. And I said, you don't want to vote on this until you know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Brent Podolsky with us here. He's here till the top of the hour. So if you have a question or a comment about this, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. We won't check your credit. Your credit's good with me. Toll free. My number is 888-573-8372. Now, Brent, I don't disagree with what you've just described, but there's a fundamental issue here that the proposal from the administration is so damn vague and so broad, and it's now been described verbally as being expanded to cover non-American banks. And so this does appear to be a bottomless pit, an endless commitment. And even if you talk about the full faith and credit of the United States government, it is not infinite. And so we really need to be assured that the securities that will be taken over by the Treasury and parked in the new Resolution Trust Corporation, whatever they decide to call it, we need to have a sense of what the potential losses really are and exactly how this is going to be operating. Because what we've really done is agreed to a line of credit to the full, you know, to the secretary's entire discretion. And that could be spent once, and then they offload some, they dump some assets, and then they spend another $300 billion. And this cycle could go on and on. The language so far gives them authority of up to $700 billion at a time, but it does not put a cap on the exposure of the American taxpayer.
Oh, absolutely. And 2 points out of what you said that are both in what I'm privately pushing and will be in the newspaper tomorrow. Number one, under no circumstances right now should we be bailing out foreign banks, period. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number two, at the front end, and certainly before we get much above the third that I'm suggesting, we ought to have the European central banks and the European banks privately make contributions to solving this problem. And the Asians, by the way. That we are in a group of seven environment. There are problems, especially in Europe, but also in Asia. There ought to be a part of the solution that the European central banks follow the Fed, that the European governments follow the Treasury Department, that they kick in some money to deal with their share of the overall problem. And it ought to be, number one, European money and Asian money dealing with the money and the problems from the European banks. And the Asian banks, they ought to be contributing to the front end. It is an outrageous and bad economics and bad business what Paulson is suggesting, which, number one, he would commit the U.S. to helping foreign banks without requiring the foreign nations and the foreign central banks to kick in help at the front end, saying, well, they'll probably do it. That can get the cost of this down below the $700 billion if we do it right by bringing in foreign money to take care of the bailout portion for the foreign banks.
But
that's just common sense and basic economics.
But don't we have a once-bitten-twice-shy situation here where these central banks have already been tapped? Chase and you know, many of the big financial institutions in New York have gone out and raised capital in the last year and a half from the Saudis, from China, from various other pockets where there still was some loose cash. And we saw last week on the very day that Lehman Brothers was allowed to go down, the German central bank had already authorized the transfer of $300 or $400 million in some transaction. So don't we have to mend some fences with those institutions that have already been burned?
Well, yeah, and the Lehman bankruptcy was not a smart move by the government. That is what precipitated some of the other crises that followed, because that destabilized all of the credit markets as the Lehman instruments got dumped on everybody at a bankruptcy pace. But take, for example, the European Central Bank, the central bank of the European community.
Mm-hmm.
They are the most reactionary institution in the world. They are tight-fisted with monetary policy. They reluctantly and grudgingly contribute capital to these solutions. They ought to be able to put up some money. They ought to be able to lower interest rates. The European Central Bank should make its share of a contribution. I think the French government under Sarkozy, the German government under Merkel, and the British government under Gordon Brown, at a minimum, should be able to put money in to help those British banks, French banks, and German banks that are part of the problem here. What they have to do is be part of the alliance and part of the group of seven and take care of their share. What we in the United States should not be doing is be bailing out foreign banks because their governments won't do it themselves. That is absurd. They're the ones that have to do some fence mending with us just as much as we have to do with them. And what we need is a president and a Congress that recognize that this is a shared problem with a shared solution in a shared endeavor. And they have to do their part. That's part of burden sharing just as much on the economy as it is on national defense, where we carry a tremendous share of the load even without the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Brent Badowski with us. He blogs and publishes at thehill.com. He's been talking about an article that'll be up there on Tuesday if you want to check it out. We'll take a break and continue with Brent, and you can call in. We'll go to the phones next at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
George Chavez of Chavez Jewelry Design specializes in recycling and restoring old jewelry, whether it's old broken jewelry or simply an item which no longer suits you. George invites you to actively participate in the creative process and to personally direct the creation of that special piece of jewelry that is truly and uniquely you. You'll find George weekdays 11 to 7 at Chavez Jewelry Design, 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville. Questions? Give George a call at 768-8004. That's 768-8004.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
On the Peter B. Collins Show, just got an email from a Prince fan. Subject line, let's party like it's 1929. Ah, those jokes are so last century, you know.
Egg on you. Whoa.
Robert Palmer, you're going to get what's coming, and of course, it's all your fault, the taxpayers and the borrowers, and we're going to bear the brunt of this bailout of Wall Street. Brent Badowski, former Capitol Hill staffer, is with us. Read his next article coming out at thehill.com on Tuesday, and we're joined by Cindy in Monterey, listening on the mighty KRXA. Hi, Cindy.
It'd be great if the three of us could just offer the people and insist that the people insist on a better bailout than the one that Bush and Cheney are going to shove down our throats. So a three-prong bailout. The first two suggestions your guests made are excellent. And may I suggest that we eat the rich and see if they become whiners too. So how about a windfall tax? Can you explain this, why we can't tax people that are making over $200,000 a year, like 50%?
Well, let me recast your question, Cindy, because I think it's a good one. But I put it in this context, that John McCain is still running on extending and making permanent the Bush tax cuts.
But that's
and these
is,
were based,
Cindy.
Hold on, Cindy. These are based on the premise that we will always have enough money in the Treasury to cut taxes. But we have just committed to this huge bailout that will drain the Treasury even further, and we can't afford the Bush tax cuts anymore. But Brent, have you even heard Democrats proposing an immediate rollback in the Bush tax cuts on the most wealthy Americans?
Well, I am.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I have heard that behind the scenes. The column is now out, by the way, on the website. If you go to thehill.com,
okay,
and then click under my name, Brent Badowski, under columnist,
mm-hmm.
The column that will be in tomorrow's paper is titled "For Whom the Bell Tolls," after Ernest Hemingway.
Mm-hmm.
And I answer the question. Here is my second to last paragraph. Those who have the most are not asked what they can do for our country. Those who suffer are forced to pay the cost for those who made billions while making this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I entirely 100% agree. And we ought to be asking, those who have the most, those who are the millionaires, those who are the speculators, they ought to be, right now, without this, they ought to be paying more taxes.
And what about the disgorgement of ill-gotten gains? Angelo Mozzillo is sitting on, $120 million retirement package? And he took Countrywide into the ground.
Oh, it's disgusting. In fact, about 3 or 4 months ago, I posted an internet classic on the Hill's Pundit site, their website, where I simply listed Angie Mozzillo's stock trades and profit for 1 month. If you want to puke, go to Yahoo Finance and go back and look at how much that man made selling his stock. And I did urge people to demand he give back some of his severance pay. And by the way, he ultimately did give back at least some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a moral obscenity. And when you look at bank after bank after bank, these guys are making $10 million, $20 million, $50 million, $100 million for the very banks that are the most screwed up. It's an outrage. We ought to try to find some way to give back the money. We ought to demand that they have compensation limits before they approve a bailout.
And Brent, I've got the silver bullet. We don't need reform. We don't need new laws. We just need to enforce the fiduciary responsibility that corporate directors have. And
exactly.
They have violated that repeatedly by giving these sweetheart compensation and stock option packages to their buddy, the CEO. And they need to be on a board to represent the shareholders. If the system were properly policed, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, there will be lawsuits. There ought to be congressional hearings. They ought to also publicly shame some of these people, including the board members and including the CEOs. And when Paulson comes in, here's the goal of what he was saying today. And I'm no admirer of him, unlike a lot of people here, including
mm-hmm.
some Democrats.
Yeah.
He was the sheriff asleep at the switch
yep.
when the criminal walked off with the loot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But to say, well, they won't participate in the bailout unless they can keep their $10 million of income. That is just absolutely false, number one.
Yeah.
And what he's saying is we should agree to their extortion by threatening to take the country down unless they get to keep their $10 million and $20 million or $50 million. That is wrong morally, wrong financially, wrong economically, wrong politically, wrong patriotically. They'll come and take the bailout, whatever their compensation, because they got no choice.
Right. Well, they're sitting on a lot of paper that will be valuable if the bailout goes through. Greta in Monterey, welcome to the program with Brent Badowski.
Yes. As I understand it, there's a question about whether or not these short sellers took some of these
puts
companies down.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, aren't there a lot of financial products that don't benefit anybody but speculators, that don't actually help businesses? And wouldn't this be a good time to...
What are you talking about, hedge funds and derivatives? That's only, what, a $60 trillion market. Brent, take her question.
Yeah, Greta is absolutely right. The short sellers did have some impact of many other forces that are, that had impact. They spread lies to the media to try to scare people into selling their stock and running on the banks. And to that degree, I suggested last week in my column called Financial Katrina, they ought to go to jail. They ought to be prosecuted.
Mm-hmm.
One other quick thing for Greta. Take a look at what happened to the price of oil today if you want to see rampant speculation. The October contract was up $15, $16 in one day.
Yeah.
The biggest increase in the history of the oil market.
Mm-hmm.
And that is speculative excess. It's a corrupted market. When you go to the pump, you'll see the price is what they're making in profit on days like today.
Yeah.
And when the Republicans say drill, 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 that's just a lie, lie, lie. Because even the Republican economists agree that drilling will only have an increase of about 2% over 20 years.
Right. Brent, thank you very much for joining us today. I want people to read your column at thehill.com and keep pushing those Democrats. We don't have to cave in on this one.
I'm trying.
Thank you, Brent.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Dow drops as investors wait on Washington.
Negotiations on the giant bailout package continue. I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
Crude oil jumps $16.
Oil is absolutely going through the roof, having its biggest one-day rally ever.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The Wall Street roller coaster took another dip today. The Dow fell 372 points to 11,015. The Nasdaq closed 94 points lower at 2178. Investors are nervous as they wait for the government bailout plan to take shape. In a written statement today, President Bush warned Congress that the whole world is watching to see if we can act quickly. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has the story on Capitol Hill.
Leaders of Congress agree with President Bush. This has to get done, but that doesn't mean it's easy. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell says it should be.
Surely we can all agree to work with each other and stand up for the American people.
Democratic leader Harry Reid.
But we're not willing to give President Bush a blank check.
So the negotiations go on. Democrat Barney Frank is in on them.
We're clearly a lot further along than we were. There's agreement on a lot of issues. There are still some major disagreements.
Agreement, he says, that homeowners facing foreclosure get help, too, and there be oversight of the program. Strong disagreement on a Democratic demand that companies that get bailed out accept limits on the multi-million-dollar salaries they pay their top executives. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Until these disputes are resolved, CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason says the stock market will be skittish.
Once this plan is approved, the government can start buying up this bad debt almost immediately. And when you see that start to happen, and when you see the credit markets start to open up, banks start to lend to each other and to us, then you will begin to see minds be put at ease, and I think the markets get a little bit stronger.
Now this.
Have you ever made an international call from your cell phone? Were you shocked by your bill? Fortunately, PennyTalk is here. With the PennyTalk calling card from IDT, you get big savings on calls around the world. Call for as low as 2 cents a minute to 200 countries, as far away as Australia.
Good day, mate.
With PennyTalk, a half-hour call to Italy costs less than AT&T Wireless or Verizon Wireless charges for just 1 minute.
Bravo.
Get PennyTalk today and get $3 of free calls. That's more than 2 hours of calling time to Mexico.
Incredible.
Go to pennytalk.com/free or call 1-877-777-7062 to save on international calls from your cell phone. There's just a 49-cent connection fee per call. That's pennytalk.com/free or call 1-877-777-7062. Say goodbye to high rates and hello to PennyTalk. Call 1-877-777-7062. Competitor claim for non-plan rates on September 1st. For service terms and fees, see pennytalk.com/free. Offer expires November 1st. New customers only.
So much for falling oil prices. Today on the New York Mercantile Exchange, crude jumped $16 to nearly $121 a barrel. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says it's because the dollar has lost purchasing power.
There's fear that the bailout plan is going to inflate the budget deficit, and so that is weakening the dollar. In fact, the dollar has slid to its lowest level in about 9 years against the euro, and that has investors fleeing to the safety of commodities like oil and gold.
Gold is up $43 to almost $904 an ounce. Both presidential candidates have reservations about the bailout. John McCain, campaigning in Scranton, Pennsylvania, said it makes him deeply uncomfortable.
I'm greatly concerned about the plan that gives a single individual the unprecedented power to spend $1 trillion without any meaningful accountability.
He wants good oversight, and so does Barack Obama.
We cannot give a blank check to Washington with no oversight and no accountability, when no oversight and accountability is exactly what got us into this mess in the first place.
He spoke in Green Bay, Wisconsin. As President, Obama said he'd keep a close watch on federal spending and save $40 billion by reducing the government's use of outside contractors. A TV channel in the Persian Gulf says it's received a tape from a group calling itself Islam Commandos, claiming responsibility for the Marriott hotel bombing in Islamabad, Pakistan. It killed 53 people, including three members of the U.S. military. Soon afterward, Pakistan's president headed for the U.N. General Assembly. CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer is in Islamabad.
Pakistanis are generally furious and disgusted that President Zardari left the country the morning after the bombing, very early in the morning, to go to London with his daughter prior to going to New York. Not only that, the head of the army is in China at the moment. In fact, the people of Pakistan feel abandoned. And that is the prevailing emotion.
Reportedly, U.S. military helicopters flew from Afghanistan into Pakistan's border region, but were repelled by ground fire. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
I was talking to my doctor, and he asked me what medications I'm taking.
Taking notes next time. There is so much
information. Information is the key to good health. And with the Aetna online personal health record, test results, diagnoses, and new prescriptions are scanned and can alert you to potential conflicts, helping you and your doctor make better informed decisions.
Helping me better understand
my health.
Learn more about the personal health record at Aetna.com. We want you to know. Aetna.
The personal health record is offered by Aetna Life Insurance Company and should not be used as the sole source of information about the member's medical history.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue our coverage of the Wall Street meltdown, the Bush administration bailout, and the unconstitutional power grab that's embedded therein. Cliff Schechter next. Later this hour, Ari Melber on the Obama campaign trail.
We
Cliff Schechter joins me now. He's the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. And look past the political porn on the cover and read the book. I encourage you to do so. It's that huggy picture of McCain slobbering all over George W. Bush. Painful to look at. Cliff Schechter, thanks for joining us today.
Why, thank you.
Is Dougie okay?
He's doing well.
What part of the mortgage bailout caused him to melt down just minutes ago? This is Cliff's son.
Well, he saw President Bush giving, or actually John McCain giving that same slobbery hug. but this time it was to all of corporate America while he wanted to rain benefits on them while taking the rest of our Social Security and of course, raise our taxes. So.
Yeah, and Dougie knows that this is all Obama's fault, right?
Of course it is. I mean, the McCain campaign has spent, it seems like years, trying to point out how little time Obama's been in Washington. So it must be the guy that's only been in Washington 4 years as opposed to the guy who literally could have gone to prison for pressuring regulators not to do their job and regulate Charles Keating.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, got off with a slap on the wrist because it's accepted practice in Congress to accept bribery, like 9 flights to the Bahamas with the family and, of course, the babysitter because you wouldn't want to have to actually watch the kids yourself. That's accepted practice. So if you fought for deregulation and pressured regulators to do that, it wouldn't be your fault if you're Barack Obama and you've always talked about the necessity of corporate regulation and you've only been in Washington 4 years. It would be your fault. That's mm-hmm. McCain land.
Mm-hmm. And it is breathtaking because Obama is one of 353 of the 435 senators and Congress members who has accepted some campaign contributions from Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae and Raines, the guy who was just dumped, I don't remember whether he was Freddie or Fannie, frankly, and this guy, James Johnson, who for a while was running the vice presidential selection team. Those are the two connective points that McCain tries to make when he offers this stunning and incredibly hypocritical allegation that, you know, it was corruption and lobbyists and Barack Obama was at the center of it all. I mean...
As opposed to his campaign manager, Rick Davis, who lobbied on behalf of those very organizations.
And earned $2 million. He was getting $30,000 a month to direct right. lobbying efforts for Fannie and Freddie.
And you know, in McCain land, that makes him actually one of the more honorable guys because he wasn't like Charlie Black lobbying for somebody that was chopping people's arms and legs off with machetes.
Mm-hmm.
So that actually makes him a good guy in McCain land, but it's amazing. Yeah, well, I mean, we've learned up is down, down is up. Everything they've charged Barack Obama with, from being a celebrity to being an elitist, would be the very definition of John McCain, and the only way that John McCain has even had any support at all, because nobody who knows him, for the most part, actually likes him.
Now, this gives lying a bad name.
Yeah, I mean, they look at what their worst traits are. I felt conservatives have done that for years. I mean, if we see what they did with Bill Clinton, it was the same thing. They looked in the mirror and they saw what their own worst traits were, and then they charged the other side with exactly those things.
Yeah, Tom DeLay was a past master at that. The roach killer would just look the camera in the eye and say, oh, the Democrats want to redistrict Texas and take away some congressional seats.
Right.
That's what he was up to.
Bill Clinton was the guy who politicized everything when we know that the right politicized the legal process and tried to impeach. I mean, you know, they've been a joke for a long time now, and I think, sadly, no one got the joke until we get to this point
mm-hmm.
where everything's falling apart. And how John McCain, frankly, can question anything about related to Barack Obama and his economic positions when he's still talking to Phil Graham and won't even come out and say, in a full-throated, very easily way, there's absolutely no way this man will serve anywhere near the Treasury, which he still refuses to do. I mean, this guy's actually caused two huge meltdowns,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm in the energy industry and now, of course, among banking. Let's see if he can't cause a third industry to melt down. Let's give him a shot,
well,
Treasury Secretary. I think that there's a few industries out there that are still healthy. He probably could find a way to make the pharmaceuticals stop making money.
Well, but this is the blocking maneuver of all time, because with this open-ended blank check that is going to be written, we know it's at least $700 billion, but it's going to be well over $1 trillion, Cliff. There ain't going to be no money for health care. That just fixes that one. This is Grover Norquist's wet dream.
It is. Well, yeah. And let's remember when they gave you the price tag. Well, I don't even remember anymore. It was so obnoxious. But what was the price tag they once gave us for what Iraq would cost? I don't even remember.
Oh, there was talk that it would be, you know, under $50 billion because of all the oil revenues that we were going to pocket.
Right. That's like 2 days there now.
Yeah.
I mean, there was that, and then, of course, there was what we heard, what the costs of Bush's original tax cut were going to be, and there was what it really ended up being when you kind of lost revenue and mm-hmm. interest and things of that sort, which was, what, 3-4 times? I'm just guessing here, but nothing that they say ever is going to cost a certain amount of money ever does, so... you can estimate that if they're going to tell you that this is going to be $700 billion or whatever they're saying, that you might as well multiply that out by about 4 or 5 right now at the very least.
Cliff Schechter with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls or comments are welcome. You can join the conversation at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Cliff, they have widened out a little bit today because it's not just Barack Obama's fault. It's the liberal media and the New York Times.
Yes.
And Steve Schmidt has launched a broadside against the Times. And this is just another smokescreen, right? Because this will create enough doubt in the minds of people likely to vote for McCain that, the New York Times is off and it's not journalistic and it's trying to kill Sarah Palin, it's trying to kill John McCain. They're creating this whole victim frame. And it's just so bizarre, because when the Times timidly tells the truth, they get pilloried as if they're this, you know, vast attack machine.
Well, hopefully what the media has learned, which it seems that you and I would complain sometimes about the Obama campaign probably a month back, and what they've seemed to learn, the best example was the whole Sarah Palin sexism thing, which is if you don't tell the truth about them and you don't point things out, they're just going to claim, they're going to make that claim anyhow. They're going to lie about you no matter what you do, so you might as well tell the truth about them and then let them attack you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the same thing here. I'll paraphrase with Joe Klein's response of Time Magazine, which he wrote online, which is simply, and he was one who used to love McCain, who they've completely lost with all of their lying. He's said it himself, that this is a dishonorable guy, that's not the guy he thought he was, as many other people in the media have said more recently. And he said, you know, that Steve Schmidt's broadside was meant to do two things, obviously. First, it was meant to cow us into not covering all of the numerous lies they tell. And second, it was meant to get us to waste time reporting on all of this so that we wouldn't cover what's going on with them. And he just said, sorry, not buying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I would say, that there should be the reaction of the entire media, which is, sorry, not buying.
Well, and you think there's a way we can blame Rachel Maddow? Her show's been on for a week and a half now, I guess 2 weeks. Isn't she responsible for the meltdown on Wall Street?
Of course she is. I think the Iraq War was also her idea.
Uh-huh.
And if I heard correctly, I think she may have had a part in starting the bubonic plague.
Well, Cliff, we really are spinning into a surreal zone because a week ago it appeared that this crisis was going to force the campaigns, and particularly the McCain campaign, to return to reality and maybe discuss an issue for more than 30 seconds or so. But it's proven very elusive, partly because of McCain's blunders. So a week ago today, he was talking about how the fundamentals of the economy are sound, and that's a boilerplate phrase that he's been using all year long, and then
you see Wall Street melting down. It's probably not a good time to repeat that BS. And
yeah,
put two and two together. And
well, and then he reshaped that as, oh no, I was talking about American workers. Now that is such a whopper.
Exactly. I bet the fundamentals of the American worker is strong. The heart is beating. The lungs are working.
Yeah, the credit card's a little weak, but
I mean, I'm not sure what he meant. Do you mean fundamentally they're alive and still, you know, at some places working?
Yeah.
Not in many cities and manufacturing plants here in Ohio, because John McCain and his friends have been more than happy to ship all of their jobs to their good friends, the communist Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
But if he means fundamentally the American worker is strong in terms of they're alive and they have a fitness plan, maybe he's correct there. I'm not sure what he's getting at.
Yeah. So, and the media does report that he is prevaricating and that these things aren't true, but they still recoil from the idea of branding him as a serial liar. There are some political cartoons that have been able to convey that message, but we're still waiting for particularly television commentators to simply declare the facts here.
Well, And I think by and large you're correct, but thankfully I'm trying to think of individual.
Tell me some exceptions, please.
There's this really cool guy named Cliff Schechter that was on C-SPAN on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I missed it. I was not watching television on Saturday.
Man, well, that guy, he called John McCain a serial liar, I believe.
Good for him.
So there you go. Once in a while you'll get a commentary. But no, I think, I'm trying to think where I've seen it. I have seen it in writing. I've seen the AP use the word, use the word lie in relation to him. I've seen a bunch of editorial boards do it. You're right. It's not as strong as it should be, because if they really just were telling the truth, they'd say, the man is a serial liar. He has absolutely no ideas. He's proposed nothing new for healthcare except for taxing our healthcare benefits, which will cause us to lose it. He's proposed nothing new for the economy except for he's attacked regulation forever. And now suddenly, yes, if in the perfect world that would happen. But I do have to say, I guess baby steps, right? I'm happy with where with the fact that the media has actually started to call him a liar.
Mm-hmm.
People at editorial boards and major newspapers, people at major political magazines, I've heard it from some of the commentators on television. I mean, look, I have to give credit where credit was due. I want to get the exact quote. I think I just had it in front of me here, and I'm looking for it. But George Will said something along the lines of, we've seen McCain's personality. John McCain, here it is, showed his personality this week and made some of us fearful.
Mm.
That's not saying he's a liar, but that's a character attack.
Yeah.
George Will.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. We're going to take a break and return with Cliff Schechter, and your phone calls are coming up next at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juk at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last.
Hello, I'm Barbara Mossberg. You know you move too fast. And I'm inviting you to join me Sundays to slow down for our poetry hour. Here's the lowdown on our poetry hoedown. Meet me at high noon, and we'll make the morning last. Right here on KRXA 540.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Just think about it. Truth about UFOs, their mysterious occupants, and Earth's hidden underground bases. If you're interested in UFOs, ETs, reptoids, Earth changes, crash retrievals, chemtrails, and conspiracies, the 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo will guarantee an entertaining and educational experience. September 27th and 28th. The Bay Area UFO Expo at the Santa Clara Marriott. Get room reservations now for the best rates, and be sure to mention Bay Area UFO Expo. Over 20 renowned guests and speakers, including Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, David Icke, Jose Escamilla, Sean David Morton, Whitley Strieber, and many more at this year's 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo.
afternoon. This is Billy Sunshine with the KRXA 540 traffic and weather update. We've got traffic collision reported in Hollister-Gilroy at Maston Avenue at Center Avenue. And again in Hollister-Gilroy area, northbound on US 101 at State Route 25. In Santa Cruz County, on the big news here has been on Route 1, State Route 1, just south of State Park Drive, where there was a vehicle on fire. Both northbound and southbound, moving very slowly. Avoid that area if you can. And a traffic hazard and collision on Brancaforte reported just north of Mill Road, and another one at Brancaforte Drive at Granite Creek Drive. And remember, you're listening to KRXA 540, where there's sunshine in almost every forecast. Stay around for the Peter B. Collins Show.
We resume transmission here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Ari Melber, who writes for The Nation and Washington Independent, will join us about 10 minutes from now. One of his latest posts is that the McCain family has 13 vehicles. And even though John says he always buys American, some of them appear to have changed nationality to Japanese or German. And who made the family jet? Inquiring minds. We continue with Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And Dave's on the line listening to KGOE in Eureka. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Peter. Cliff, as I see it, the criminals that have stolen our government fully intend to rid the people of any power they might have, that is to say, to decimate the middle class, to take away any security, any chance for competitive jobs, benefits, etc., and to have us competing, struggling with one another for the crumbs that might fall from the table.
You bet. Yep.
Well, I think their stated goals are right out there, and I think Peter brought up Grover Norquist before. I mean, their goal is to take us back to not pre-FDR regulations. They want to take us back to pre-progressive era, which essentially is turning us into a developing country. We know what that looks like, a large, you know, federal dictatorial government where the treasury is essentially there for their using. The middle class, of course, is decimated to the point where there is no middle class, and we've been heading in that direction. So there'd just be a couple elites at the top, and then all the rest of us will be very poor. And then we can do things like bail out Phil Grimm's Swiss bank with American middle-class money, because that's what actually part of this plan is that John McCain wants right now, which is we should be bailing out his buddy Phil Grimm for screwing up with the UBS with money from middle-class families in places like where I live here in Ohio.
Well, and Cliff, I've been hammering it all day. I kind of gave you a break, but Section 8 of this proposal is a bare-knuckled David Annington, Dick Cheney power grab. And it's a fulfillment of Naomi Klein's predictions here about disaster capitalism. They've created this crisis atmosphere. They're trying to jam legislation through the Congress in a single week. And this Section 8 says that none of the actions of the Treasury Secretary in this role can be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. Essentially, it says there shall be no oversight of any kind.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic Dick Cheney. It's myself and President Bush will come and testify. We'll come and, you know, for the 9/11 Commission. But you can't record anything we're saying.
Yeah.
Nor can anyone take notes. Nor are we under oath. I'm surprised they didn't say, and the lights have to be off. You know, and TV's turned up to full blast, so no one can hear what we're saying. I mean, this is what they do, the secret energy meetings. I mean, and these guys could try to paint anybody else as elitist with their secret meetings with all their rich 13-car-owning, 12-house-owning friends so that they can bail out foreign banks in Switzerland while the rest of us get screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Rather amazing.
Yeah. Cliff, a couple of quickies here. There's a video circulating about John McCain and what happened as he was tortured in Hanoi. Did he flip? Is that confirmable?
I've said it to people before. I mean, from what I know, I mean, he did sign confessions and things of that sort, but I've never questioned him about that, and I have a real hard time doing that. because when somebody's under the kind of torture he was under, I mean, to me, it's more evidence for why whatever he said, he would claim he said whatever they wanted him to say.
Well, Cliff, your restraint is admirable, and on a human level, I respect that. But here's a guy who kept saying, I don't like to talk about my POW experience.
And he loves talking about
it. It was the centerpiece of his acceptance speech. So,
well, that's an important point, Peter. I mean, that is true. Maybe that makes it so it is reasonable to talk about whether he flipped, because the truth is that if it was something so personal, he shouldn't be talking about it all the time, as he claims he didn't. You're right, and he does. To me, the important point is if he wants to go and say, well, you know, I said some things because I need to say whatever I need to say to get them to stop torturing me, would that be a reason why torturing, beyond being completely illegal and ridiculous, is also stupid?
Yeah.
Doesn't actually get us anywhere? Would that be a reason why he shouldn't have signed on with the Military Commissions Act and signed in with the Bush administration and said that the CIA can be exempt from the military manual so they can actually waterboard people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that to me is the worst part of the whole thing,
which
is he thinks we should be doing what the Vietnamese are doing to him, which we know doesn't work and is barbaric.
Yeah. Cliff, thank you very much. Always appreciate your contributions here, and give Doug a hug.
I will. He'll be happy again once we get rid of Mr. McCain.
Okay.
Take care.
Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. Coming up next, Ari Melber on the Obama campaign trail, here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Our way of life is saved. But from what? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Over the weekend, the great bailout entered a whole new orbit, another $700 billion. That's more than the war on terrorism. Asked on ABC to explain why, here's how Treasury Secretary Paulson put it.
The situation we had, where markets are frozen and lending may not be available, is one that won't be good for the American people.
Won't be good? That apparently wasn't the language he used at the briefing that Democrat Chris Dodd attended.
There was a pause for about 10 or 15 seconds when nothing was said. The air came out of the room.
That's way beyond won't be good. Republican John Boehner was a little more forthcoming.
This is about our way of life.
Yeah. But they're clearly holding something back, aren't they?
I don't want to use the language, and I don't think John does either, because the language has an impact.
Yeah. Don't want to use the language. Paulson said it would be another depression, didn't he? That's why the Treasury Department and the President are now demanding, quote, unreviewable power, without telling anybody where all this money is going to come from. Say, do you think anybody's going to have the guts to stand up and admit that the idea of cutting taxes in time of war has been a spectacular failure? Let me take you back just 2 years.
We encouraged economic expansion by cutting taxes on dividends and capital gains. Together, these tax cuts left nearly $1.1 trillion in the hands of American workers and families and small business owners,
who are now, apparently, going to have to give it all back. Now this.
The contagious virus that causes warts can be spread by contact.
Dude, where you been?
Hey!
And it can happen in an instant. Want to stop warts just as fast?
W.
Fast-acting Compound W Freeze-Off. Unlike liquid wart removers that can take time to work, Compound W Freeze-Off's deep penetrating action works to destroy the wart in as little as one application. And that's why the W is the one moms trust. W. Fast-acting Compound W. The wart stops here. Use as directed.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. A Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Socolo Mexican Restaurant is proud to announce the opening of our newest restaurant in Old Town Salinas, located at 321 Main Street. As with our original location in Pacific Grove, Socolo features Angus beef, handmade tortillas, and the freshest ingredients available. Socolo offers many unique specials like pozole verde, chicken mole, and albondigas. You won't find frozen meats or canned tomatoes at Socolo. Now with two locations to serve you at 321 Main Street in Old Town Salinas, for reservations and takeout, call 424-1047. That's 424-1047. Or if you're on the Monterey Peninsula, visit us at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number there is 373-7911. That's 373-7911. Socolo Restaurant, the place to go when you're looking for quality, authentic Mexican food.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. In a moment, Ari Melber joins us. Fresh from another victory over a Republican merchant of slime. Big money's in the driver's seat, trying to jam through that bailout bill in the Congress this week, and it's going to be fascinating. Will Barack Obama take a little time off the campaign trail to return to the Senate and actively participate in the debate over this important legislation that can have a dramatic negative impact on his presidency should that come to pass? Ari Melber joins us now. He's on the campaign trail with Obama, and he's filing dispatches at thenation.com and also at washingtonindependent.com. And over the weekend, I saw a clip of another great debate that he did on MSNBC. Ari, do you take steroids before those little encounters? Ari? Oh, we did lose one on the Gentner there, Katrina, so we'll have to call him back. Ari is on the trail. I got to clear that line. Now you're okay. Ari is on the campaign trail, and cell phones do drop occasionally, so we'll get him back on the line here in just a second. But if you want to go to JedReport.com, Ari Melber's debate with Joe Watkins on MSNBC with David, MSNBC David. The reporter, David Schuster, thank you, moderating, is very interesting, and it's about 3.5 minutes worth seeing, so check it out. That is JedReport.com, and Jed Report also has a little box up here that is updated every 10 seconds called the No Talk Express, and it says in the last 40 days, 9 hours, 55 minutes, and 32 seconds, McCain has given zero press conferences, and Sarah Palin, in the 24 days since she was selected, has given one interview and one Hannity infomercial. That's very well put. All right, did we survive here?
I'm back. How are you?
We gotcha. I was just asking you, and maybe you heard part of this, but you had a television encounter with a Republican guy named Joe Watkins, and boy, you did a great job there.
Well, thank you, Peter.
And when you really fight to tell the truth and he started laughing and you told him and the viewers that it wasn't funny, the way that McCain has been repeatedly lying and in some cases getting away with it, I think that was really effective. I wish we saw some of the candidates themselves talking that way.
Yeah, when you see this a lot in these cable shows, there's all these little tricks of the trade, and one of them is sort of giggling your way through, interrupting the other person. It's exactly the kind of stuff that turns, I think, viewers off from even listening to the darn exchange. But if you're the one on the losing end of an issue, that's better than having people listen. So, yeah, in that particular exchange, because we were talking about the economy and the bailout and important issues, it worked to point out, obviously, that this isn't funny to people who are hurting, and try to refocus the conversation on the actual differences between the candidates, on that score.
Yeah. Now, I want to focus primarily on Obama, but you have an irresistible post up about John McCain. We know he doesn't know how many houses he and Cindy own, and now he's not clear on their fleet of automobiles. There are 13 sets of wheels in the McCain family, and the senator says he always buys American.
Yeah, and even when interviewed specifically about cars, he said he, quote, literally always buys American, but as Newsweek reported and then some of the labor folks in Michigan jumped all over him, it turns out he has some foreign purchased cars. And I thought it was interesting, the United Auto Workers president out there in Michigan said, look, people can buy whatever cars they want. We, as a union, support Buy American and have done that for a long time for all the obvious reasons. All we ask of a candidate is to tell us the truth because we care about this issue. And so what he was hitting on was, you know, the lies and the pattern of deception over items small and large. So, again, it was, I think, politically a way to get into these wealth issues. Of course, Senator McCain not only having personal wealth, which you don't necessarily count against the candidate, it depends on their policies, but his personal wealth becomes sort of a metaphor for the fact that his tax plan and his views on a lot of economic issues really are only tailored to the people in his bracket, the very wealthy, just like the current administration. And when he spins or lies his way around it, that whether that's about how many cars or what type of cars, or in the case of his mansions, maybe really genuinely couldn't remember, but still sort of suggests the problem about, you know, where he's coming from and if he's looking out for the little guy, you know, I do think that those storylines help Obama.
Yeah. And, Ari, don't tell him this, but, you know, there are many BMWs and Toyotas that are actually manufactured in the United States these days. So the brand name doesn't always indicate the origin of the manufacturing of that vehicle. Ari, I want to turn to topic A here on the PBC show today. I am very concerned about the language proposed by the administration in the Wall Street bailout bill, and I'm kind of resigned that we're going to get hosed here financially, but I refuse to be hosed constitutionally. And the language in there in this Section 8 says that this law essentially is, you know, going to produce a kind of legal bubble that says the bailout itself is beyond the law, that it cannot be reviewed by any court, any administrative agency, and the proposal to brief Congress quarterly doesn't require any consent from the Congress. It's just, well, we'll tell you what we think you need to know. So what I'd like to know is, have you heard Senator Obama address this issue in particular and the oversight role, which, of course, is completely missing from this Bush administration proposal?
Well, I'll tell you, I have not heard him zero in on Section 8. I know you've raised it, which I think is very important, and I completely agree. I do think Senator Obama has spoken more broadly about oversight, and I did look over the speech that he gave today, which I thought outlined some very good principles, and really put this in a larger framework. You know, one of the concerns on the left about Obama is that sometimes he focuses so much on the unity and the post-partisanship that he might miss the opportunities to really broadly stake out a, you know, progressive platform and progressive political power. And this was a speech that I think did that. I'd encourage people to go look at it because he really went right into the type of free market fundamentalism and right-wing approach to the markets and said this crisis, the greatest, in his words, since the Great Depression, is the final death knell and the verdict on these decades of failed Republican deregulation and, you know, pay on to the free market. So I thought that was very good. The oversight, no, I don't think he's gotten as specific as he should in Section 8. Of course, that issue really seems to me, at least in the media, to only be starting to get some traction today. I know that at the Huffington Post there was an article.
Yeah, but it's banner headline across the homepage of the Huffington Post, and I felt good seeing that because when I started sending out emails this morning, I felt like I was one of a handful of people who really was noticing this incredible power grab, this Dick Cheney dream of enhancing executive power, and just saying the hell with the Constitution, the hell with the courts, the hell with congressional oversight. This is a stunning effort. And one of the points I've made, Ari, is that typically I've seen this in the signing statements that are written largely by David Addington, the vice president's chief of staff, former counsel there when Scooter was still in the shop. And it's amazing that they feel so emboldened now that they can actually put this right up front and say, oh, yeah, we're going to grab some power along with this huge bailout for our buddies.
It is, especially when you look at how low their approval is and how many even Republicans are starting to try to get distant, at least the perception of distance from this administration, but they still go for broke. And as you say, it is unprecedented. And, the only time you would ever see language like this that might have some precedent would be there are aspects of military and foreign policy related legislation where you might have language mentioning that, you can't go sue the commander-in-chief, to try to have oversight over how he handles troop deployments. You can defund a war, but you generally can't turn to the courts for that kind of oversight in our constitutional system because of the president's power in the Constitution over military affairs. The president does not have, and I haven't heard anyone really claim seriously that there's any precedent for that in domestic affairs and the economy. There is not, and so it is a crazy provision. It is one of the many things that the Congress is going to have to look at and hopefully strip out regardless of whatever happens with this package. In other words, if it moves at all, it shouldn't move with that kind of unbridled authority. And as Paul Krugman has said, we've seen what deferring to this management team gets us. So why would you ever do that here in the face of this crisis?
Any chance that Senator Obama will take some time off from the campaign and participate in the debate in the Senate this week on this very critical issue, as I pointed out in the intro? This is going to set the stage for his presidency and create a new era of limits. I believe that this effectively ends any discussion about universal health care coverage in this country.
Well, I don't know is the short answer. I think politically it's difficult because, he's prepping for a very important debate on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, the schedule that I've seen has him going around to a few states, but then also having downtime to prep for that debate. I mean, if it's feasible to drop in and do some sort of short speech in the Senate to make the point and for him to exercise his power as a senator today rather than only speaking in the future tense, which I think does great on supporters and undecided voters alike, because we're always hearing promises, and this is not something that's going to be resolved by the next president. Later, we have to make some very tough decisions right now, but I wouldn't expect him to be able to carve out the time to get into negotiation details in the Senate.
Mm-hmm. Now, Ari, I want to ask you to weigh in, and I've got a couple of minutes here, so you don't have to give me a short answer. But I was really impressed a couple of weeks ago. I was doing an interview with Andrew Bacevich, and he made the point that the conundrum that Obama faces right now is proving to the establishment that he's a continuity guy. And while he's campaigning on change, and, that's a phrase that means different things to different people, and I acknowledge that, he has this fine line that he has to tread right now, where if he's seen as too radical, too different, too much of a threat to the status quo, that they'll unleash, various efforts against him. And that if he doesn't cozy up to Wall Street and the business interests, that they will either punish him as a candidate or as the president. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on that effort that he's doing right now to dance along that line.
I think that's very well put. I think at least in the reviews coming out of that power structure and in Washington, he did get high marks last week for sounding reasoned and responding with a cool head. Even if you study these issues and are immersed in politics, it is still one of those moments where everyone looks at you and tries to figure out whether you're up to the task and whether you can basically respond to the great outrage, anger, and fear that's in this country as people see, jobs and wealth destroyed and worried about the future. Whether you can respond to that in an empathetic way, in a political way, obviously, because you want to get support out of that without being seen to exploit it, while also being reasonable and cool and measured, all of those adjectives, can be interpreted different ways, but in the terms of Washington usually mean not upending the power structure or challenging the status quo too much because people don't want to lose their power and their system. And so I do think that at least politically, he did well. He was praised widely on these Sunday shows while McCain was criticized. It was McCain who was seen as kind of coming out of the angry left field saying, fire the SEC chair, where whether you like Chris Cox or not, I don't think liberal experts or economic experts, you know, coming from any part of the spectrum would say, well, the main problem is that we need to fire one person. That was seen as kind of a rash.
Well, and also because he's already indicated he's going at the end of the year, McCain's call was, fire him now before he can quit.
Yeah, but, well, that and also, you know, it's not a thoughtful, full-bore sort of detailed response you'd want from a president. I mean, George Will, who generally supports Republicans, said, well, you know, yet again, McCain was substituting vehemence for coherence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's almost like the kind of stuff you hear people criticize for on the, quote, angry left. So I do think that the establishment was comfortable with Obama in that regard. But again, if you look at the speech he gave today, one of the things he talked about was how a lot of these problems do come from the unfair concentration of power in the corporate class in Washington and how he wants to change that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people feel like they're kind of tired of hearing Obama talk about lobbyists or that that's become some sort of empty talking point. But it is true that we have more lobbyists working today in Washington for corporate interests than at any time in history.
And most of them are tied to the McCain campaign. Ari, I got to run to a break. We'll pick up in just a moment. Ari Melber with us. Read his dispatches at WashingtonIndependent.com. You got a comment? Now's a good time. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Call me here at the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. I'm Billy Sunshine with your KRXA 540 traffic and weather update. We've got in Hollister-Gilroy area, a traffic collision at Maston Avenue at Center Avenue. And at 101, we are also reporting a traffic collision at Route 25 in Hollister-Gilroy. Moving to Santa Cruz, we have traffic collision with an ambulance responding at Branson 40 Drive, just north of Mill Road. And again on Branson 40 Drive at Granite Creek Drive, we have a traffic hazard. And the vehicle on fire is just now being moved from Route 1, that's just south of State Park Drive on the northbound side. Weather? Well, it's going to be beautiful tomorrow, just like today, only a little bit warmer. Remember, you're listening to KRXA, where there's sunshine in almost every weather forecast. And now we're back with Peter B. Collins.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following The Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after The Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
Do you love KRXA 540?
Show your support for our radio station by placing a bumper sticker on the bumper of your vehicle. Click on the bumper sticker at KRXA540.com and think for yourself.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, playing the grooviest bumper music in all of talk radio. That's what they tell me. We continue with Ari Melber, following Barack Obama along the campaign trail this fall and filing his reports at WashingtonIndependent.com and TheNation.com. And we're joined by somebody. I just have to scroll down here and see who my lucky caller is. And this is Deborah in Carmel. Welcome, Deborah.
Hi, sir. My concern is that in May of 07, President Bush gave himself powers under the National Security and Homeland Security Presidential Directive NSPD-51/HSPD-20, mm-hmm. wherein the president can declare a catastrophic emergency, and then to paraphrase the language, any incident, regardless of a location, that results in extraordinary levels of damage, and then disregarding other important things that he could declare this over,
mm-hmm.
Any extraordinary level of damage to the economy. And so if I were Dick and George, I would say, all right, let's see what we can shove through Congress and then use this as the signing statement to justify Paulson not being held accountable by Congress agencies or
the courts,
the judiciary, mm-hmm. and or if they don't get their way with Congress, he will out in the open implement this self-given power.
Well, I understand your concern, and I am aware of that presidential directive. I know it exists, and there are other stories circulating on the Internet that there have been troop deployments to actually bring some troops home to prepare for some sort of unrest domestically.
I heard that on Democracy Now! This morning. I've got to rewatch it to catch mm-hmm. what I heard when I was half asleep.
I think it's a time for vigilance. I do not want to fan any false rumors or, you know, pursue any crackpot ideas, but I also don't want to dismiss what is you know, clearly possible here under the directive that you just described. Ari, do you have a comment?
Well, I don't know, frankly, about the Democracy Now! Rumor, although I didn't hear that broadcast, but I think that, yes, it is clear from the records and the history we have of the last 7 years that this administration has a trouble following laws that are on the books, let alone anything that's ambiguous or a power, you know, giving away more power. So, again, what people can do is contact Congress. There's really no reason that Congress should be giving away the store here.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm sorry, Deborah, what?
I called as best as I could the two senators and my congressman this morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. I thank
They're
you
They're not listening, but I did call.
I called Barbara Boxer's office, and when you press 1 for the comment line, it tells you the mailbox is full. It's
yeah,
a very satisfying expression of constituent voice, isn't it?
Well, I called San Francisco for a local office.
Uh-huh. So. And you got a human?
This morning I did.
Oh, good for you.
No human, just a message.
Mm-hmm. All right. Deborah, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate your comment. And we'll take more of your calls in the Free Speech Zone coming up right after the top of the hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Ari, with somebody like you who's well-placed and well-informed, I always like to leave a moment here to fill in the blank on something I haven't asked you about. What critical things have developed on the Obama campaign over the last few days that you'd like to update us on?
Well, I mean, I think politically you're seeing these sharper sets of attacks. I mean, again, we mentioned the wealth, the cars. The Obama campaign is openly pushing those stories. And so I do think, although it's a lot less important than these economic troubles that we're all trying to get our heads around, it is an interesting postscript to what we heard over the last few weeks, which was he's not hitting hard enough or he's not attacking McCain personally. And they really are. If anything, they're crossing lines that Democrats don't like to cross because we're usually the ones saying, hey, you know, it doesn't matter that John Edwards has a big house if he wants to help poverty, or it sure as hell didn't matter that FDR was personally wealthy because he did a ton for poor people in this country. And yet Those are the kind of attacks we're seeing because we're in a sharper phase, and you're seeing Senator Obama and definitely his aides call John McCain a liar five different ways every day, and you're seeing the McCain campaign on the defensive now basically complaining that the New York Times or other media are unfair to him, not the sexism charges we heard out of the convention, but just liberal media complaints, which are familiar, but they're dialing up the heat on that because they feel that they're losing several news cycles. So I do think we're seeing an aggressive Obama campaign that's opening up those political lines of attack while also trying to take the high ground on sounding like the serious, ready commander-in-chief presidential figure for not only Iraq but now the economy, which is issue number one.
Mm-hmm. And what's your sense of the debate this Friday night? Jim Lehrer of the PBS NewsHour will be moderating. Do you think we'll see anything really interesting or definitive surface there? It's going to be focused on foreign policy and national security, which isn't the best timing.
No, I mean, look, this is going to be, and I'm sure anyone could give you this observation, it's going to be one of those word games. How long does it take you to connect your foreign policy answer back to the economy, back to energy, back to gas prices, back to what people are struggling with? Senator Obama does that on the campaign trail already, and when he gets questions about how do you fund things, he says, well, the first thing I'm going to do is end this war in Iraq, which is going to save us all this money. You know, he's not shy about that connection. And so it will be interesting to see McCain, I think, who's struggled to really sound knowledgeable about the economy, to hear him try to cast his foreign policy, which, of course, is more militant, more aggressive, relies on more contractors, more Halliburton, more Blackwater. How is he going to take his worldview and put it in terms that the public is going to somehow see as positive for the American economy? Both candidates have that challenge. I just think on the facts, McCain has a tougher challenge.
Ari Melber, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you.
Thanks.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush warned today that failure to act in a timely manner on a plan to stabilize the financial markets would have broad consequences far beyond Wall Street. But the plan has run into stumbling blocks on Capitol Hill. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
While congressional leaders in both parties say they want a bailout passed this week, there are a growing number starting to say, wait. Peter DeFazio is a liberal Democrat from Oregon.
We shouldn't be rushed into this. If it takes a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, the world will wait.
There's even more opposition starting to come from conservative Republicans. Senator Richard Shelby, top Republican on the Banking Committee, said it would be foolish to waste massive sums of taxpayer money on this plan, and Congress should come up with a new one. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
All this debate makes the stock market nervous. Today, the Dow dropped 372 points to 11,015.
Wall Street is waiting to see what's finally going to come out of Washington this week. They're waiting to see what the plan is, what it does, what's going to be bought, who's going to be rescued. And until that happens, things are going to continue to be unsettled.
CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason. Energy analyst Peter Butel watched the price of crude oil skyrocket today, up $16 to nearly $121 a barrel.
We're going to see some of the declines that we had expected to see evaporate as prices continue to move higher here. The good news is, I guess, that gasoline prices are only about 9 cents higher right now.
Oil's up because the value of the dollar is down, and that's because the credit market bailout will add to the national debt. Most commodities were sharply higher today. Gold up $43 an ounce, and agricultural products, including wheat, corn, and soybeans, rose.
Barack Obama, campaigning in Green Bay, Wisconsin today, blamed the economic crisis on the Republicans.
We can't put up with eight more years of mismanagement of the economy. We can't put up with eight more years of no regulation. Enough is enough.
John McCain in Scranton, Pennsylvania, said the government's purchase of financial institutions' bad debts should have some oversight.
This arrangement makes me deeply uncomfortable. And when we're talking about $1 trillion of taxpayer money, trust me, just isn't good enough.
Both candidates say there should be tighter controls in the financial markets. From Islamabad, CBS News correspondent Elizabeth Palmer reports the U.S. military death toll in Saturday's terrorist bombing has risen to 3.
CBS News can confirm that the Marriott bombing killed 2 U.S. Navy men and an Air Force officer. And 16 other military personnel said to be on a sensitive mission were wounded.
In all, at least 53 people were killed when a truck bomb exploded outside the hotel. A senior Pakistani government official says the country's top leadership was supposed to have dinner at the hotel, but at the 11th hour, the meeting was moved to the prime minister's home. This is CBS News.
Smart is as smart invests. That's why the smart money is now in CDs. And there's no smarter CD than the one from GMAC Bank. Now get a 12-month CD at a 4.35 annual percentage yield. That's positively one of the best rates available. Show off your CD smarts. Grow your money while protecting it from market fluctuations. Go to GMACBank.com or call 1-866-2-GM-BANK. Open a CD with as little as $500 and start reaping the benefits. GMAC Bank. Smart. Simple. Safe. Member FDIC.
Paper towels, rock salt.
Most people don't know what's in CSX freight trains, so we made a list.
Shoes, steel rivets.
CSX trains move over 1 million tons of freight every day.
Wheat, refrigerators, orange juice, hybrid cars, lumber.
Are we almost done?
Not even close, my friend. Jogging shorts, mustard.
Let's just say if it's in your life, it's probably on our trains. Go to CSX.com to learn more. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Too often kids fail to grasp the basics of math before they're moved along. It doesn't add up. CBS News correspondent Nick Young has the story.
It's a numbers game, and new research shows many students haven't got the right formula. The Brookings Institution says many eighth graders don't have a good grounding in math, and yet they find themselves taking an advanced course in algebra, and their grades show it. Bad news, says William Schmidt of Michigan State University.
Internationally, virtually all children in all countries study algebra in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. And so this would leave our children further behind in terms of any kind of international benchmarks.
Math experts agree students need to be better prepared in the earlier grades. Nick Young, CBS News.
If you've ever dreamed of slinging hash and making coffee by the gallon, this could be the right opportunity. A classic silver diner that served the people of Huntington, Pennsylvania for decades is up for sale, but owner Jerry Grubbs says the buyer has to move it and reopen it to serve customers elsewhere. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Have you ever made an international call from your cell phone? Were you shocked by your bill? Fortunately, PennyTalk is here. With the PennyTalk calling card from IDT, you get big savings on calls around the world. Call for as low as 2 cents a minute to 200 countries, as far away as Australia.
Good day, mate.
With PennyTalk, a half-hour call to Italy costs less than AT&T Wireless or Verizon Wireless charges for just 1 minute.
Bravo.
Get PennyTalk today and get $3 of free calls. That's more than 2 hours of calling time to Mexico.
Incredible.
Go to pennytalk.com/free or call 1-877-777-7062 to save on international calls from your cell phone. There's just a 49-cent connection fee per call. That's pennytalk.com/free or call 1-877-777-7062. Say goodbye to high rates and hello to PennyTalk. Call 1-877-777-7062. Competitor claim for non-plan rates on September 1st. For service terms and fees, see pennytalk.com/free. Offer expires November 1st. New customers only.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
As we launch into the free speed zone, I implore you to call the program and let me know your thoughts. Express your outrage about the power grab that is embedded in the administration's bailout proposal for Wall Street. detail it for you in just a moment. But I want to open up the phone lines, give you the number right now. Get on the line. Don't wait till the end of the hour. That's when people don't get on. 888-5-PETER-B. That's my toll-free number. You dial 1-383-8372. Program thus far today, some great people have commented on the bailout. Jim Moore, the author of Bush's Brain about Karl Rove. Brent Badowski, former Capitol Hill staffer. An hour ago, you heard Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. And Ari Melber joined us, too, to talk about the Obama side of the equation. I'd like to hear your comments at 888-5-PETER-B. $2,300 of your money. That's $2,300 for every man, woman, and children in the country so far committed to this bare-knuckled bailout. And there's so much more to the story. Last night I was in Sacramento, and no, I wasn't watching the Emmy Awards. I actually was receiving an award, and I'm grateful to the Teach Peace Foundation for honoring me for the work we do on this radio program. They honored many others who have been working to teach peace to young people and old people and everybody. And I took the opportunity to share my moment with people who've inspired me, like people like Medea Benjamin at Code Pink and Cindy Sheehan, David Swanson of Impeach PAC and After Downing Street and many other efforts, Barbara Lee and Dennis Kucinich from the House of Representatives, Phil Butler, the POW who served longer than John McCain and has spoken out against him and has spoken up for peace, and the leaders of the Free Gaza Movement who challenged the Israeli blockade by sea this summer. Those are just some people I've been in contact with who have inspired me. And I also took the opportunity to share with the several hundred people who'd gathered for the Teach Peace annual event my concerns. Saturday night I was surfing the web like I usually do, catching up on email dispatches that people send to me. And Mark Crispin Miller, who's a professor at New York University and a very active user of the Internet, forwarded some commentaries, one by Brent Badowski, one by Jim Moore, and a few others, including Glenn Greenwald, who is a constitutional law expert who blogs and writes for Salon, and he will be on our program tomorrow to talk about the legal issues here. But I took some of my own advice because I asked those gathered in Sacramento last night to add another task to their activist list, to make sure that our elected officials, particularly Democrats, know about the constitutional poison pill that's right there clear as day in Section 8 of the Treasury proposals delivered to Congress over the weekend. And I'm going to repeat this in case you've just joined us. And it's only one sentence, 32 words, so it won't hurt you if you've heard it before. Section 8 is simply entitled Review. And after authorizing the Secretary of Treasury to become a de facto dictator over the economy with unbridled powers to buy securities, sell them, doesn't have to do it in the interest of the American people. There is no high-minded element of this proposal. It says the Secretary can hire people and deputize them to carry out his authority. And the New York Times reports on various Wall Street entities that want a piece of the action of this bailout program. We'll get to them in a moment. But here is this stunning single sentence that turns the Constitution on its ear. quote, decisions by the secretary pursuant to the authority of this act are non-reviewable and committed to agency discretion and may not be reviewed by any court of law or any administrative agency. Think what this means. No oversight by Congress. No role for the courts. Now, this appears to be unconstitutional, and I'm not even a constitutional expert of any kind. But the chutzpah that this administration, this late in its lame duck years, would try to jam through the Congress in 1 week a package that includes this onerous sentence is mind-boggling. And Democrats have responded. They've talked about governance. They've talked about oversight. But I haven't heard anybody explicitly describe this fascist element of the bailout proposal. I was infuriated because I read the New York Times and the San Francisco Chronicle every day. Sunday's Chronicle, on the front page, had a lengthy story with all the business details, all the economic impacts of the bailout, written by a business reporter. And on the front page, too, there was one of these summary boxes for people who don't want to read the whole article. And nowhere in either place was there one word mentioning this unconstitutional assertion of executive authority. To its credit, the New York Times, in its front page story, mentioned it in the second paragraph. Now, we've heard from Badowski and others that Democratic leaders are aware of this, they're pushing back, and they aren't going to accept that language. And I hope that's true. But my fears are driven by past behavior of the Democrats, even since they've taken control of Congress, where they've been repeatedly rolled by the administration that creates a phony crisis, a phony sense of urgency, says you must act, and the Democrats accept bad legislation. They did it on FISA. They did it on the occupation funding. And they're up to it again. My former producer, Matt Renner, is now a reporter and editor at truthout.org, and I recommend his story that's on the front page of Truth Out right now, entitled Taxpayers Congress Push Back Against Bailout. He mentions Section 8 in his third paragraph. I appreciate that, Matt. He goes on to say constituents have been blowing up the phone lines on Capitol Hill, calling House members, Republicans and Democrats, objecting to the no-strings bailout. And the representatives have responded. Dennis Kucinich has spoken out against the bailout, calling it cash for trash. And here's a novel proposal. Since the bailout will cost each and every American about $2,300, tomorrow I'll offer legislation to create a United States Mutual Trust Fund, which will take control of $700 billion in stock assets at market value and not higher, convert those assets to shares, and distribute $2,300 worth of shares to new individual savings accounts in the names of each and every American. The Wall Street financial disaster is an opportunity to create a genuine ownership society. If Congress invests $700 billion in the market, then the American people must get something of real value for their investment. I think this is brilliant. That's only part of the picture. We also need to give relief to the borrowers who are stuck with these adjustable rate mortgages that are blended in with all these other securities in these investment products, as they call them on Wall Street. And they've got them so raveled together that you can't unravel them to determine where the losses are and how deep our exposure really is. Barney Frank is working to tie this to limits on executive compensation. I don't think that's a bad idea. But I'm much more interested in creating mechanisms that assure the American people that for our trillions of dollars, that we're not just gifting Wall Street. And sure, the compensation issue is important because I don't want to see the guys who killed Lehman Brothers walking away with tens of millions of dollars. But I'm most interested in the nub of the big picture here. Our constitutional rights and the true cost to taxpayers. With that, we go to your phone calls, 888-5-PETER-B. That's my toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Gina in Salinas, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
First off, we already know what Bush thinks of the Constitution, just a goddamn piece of paper.
He did say that.
Right. So I mean, that's already it on the record. Actually, the public should know that.
Mm-hmm.
Kucinich is just absolutely great. But the loans that were made, the Patriot Act required the lenders to keep records and verify that the person that was making the loan was the person. So the government got that list. They know this.
Not quite, Gina. The Patriot Act did expand financial services to the coverage of the FBI and others. And they can go to your bank and examine your bank account and tell your banker that they can't tell you that they've been there and looked at your records. But that does not necessarily mean that if you took out a mortgage, that was reported to the FBI.
A, to help the government fight the funding of terrorism and money laundering activities, federal law requires all financial institutions to obtain, verify, and record information that identifies each person who opens an account. So they have that record, okay? Now, mm-hmm. Our Congress can go ask for the records from each one of these guys and find out what these loans were. They've got to have them. That's federal law, okay?
Well, you're technically correct, but they've had trouble with that because some courts have said, show us the mortgage, you know, that is behind this mortgage-backed security, and the banks haven't been able to produce them.
Well, then that means they don't have a loan, right? But they're getting somebody's money.
Well, you might be right there. Go ahead, Gene.
And the other thing is, a lender has to notify the borrower within 30 days when they transfer the loan. That's federal law.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard anybody say anything about that.
Well, I don't know who owns our mortgage right now.
I don't either.
I know who we send the check to, but I don't know who owns it.
Well, I called them and I saw in my credit report that it had another name on it.
Yeah.
And I they said that they had that thing. I said, well, nobody sent me. I said, you're required to provide mm-hmm. me with a notice.
Right.
It went back to the original name.
Interesting. I got to run to a break. Gina, thanks for your call. Now, my lines are wide open. I want to hear your reaction to this bailout and to the unconstitutional power grab. 888-5-PETER-B. Call me now, 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff.
Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink, homemade drafts, mochas, lattes. How about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors? Black Forest is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center at Forest and David next to Save Mart Pacific Grove. Check out blackforestespresso.com.
Good afternoon. This is Billy Sunshine with your KRXA 540 traffic and weather update. Starting out in Santa Cruz, we've got on Route 1 just south of DeMeo Lane a small traffic hazard, a collision at State Park Drive at McGregor Drive, and on Route 1 northbound, we still are mostly closed there. They say that will not be open fully for another 2 hours. That's Route 1, just south of State Park Drive, where there was a vehicle on fire, a truck fire. Still not totally open. Try to avoid if possible. Your weather, well, it's sunshine as usual. And tomorrow, more sunshine, maybe a couple degrees warmer. Stick with KRXA and stick with the Peter B. Collins Show.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Where's Johnny Cash when we need him, huh?
I went out walking through streets paved with gold. Lifted some stones, saw the skin and bones of a city without a soul. I went out walking under an atomic sky, where the ground won't turn and the rain it burns like the tears when I said goodbye. Yeah, I went with nothing, nothing but the thought of you. I went wandering.
Well, I just got a notice by email from Barclays Bank. They've got $5.5 million for me. That's the bailout I've been waiting for. But hey, the Wall Street bailout is incredible. And I urge you to go online and read for yourself. It's only 2 or 2.5 pages. The bare bones proposal that came from the Treasury Department and arrived on Capitol Hill this weekend. The Secretary is authorized to purchase and to make and fund commitments to purchase on such terms as conditions as he may determine mortgage-related assets from any financial institution having its headquarters in the United States. Now the U.S. part's been thrown out anywhere in the frickin' world. And here's another clause just right under this, that the Secretary is authorized to appoint such employees as may be required to carry out the authorities in this act. That means some buddies will be called in. Or entering into contracts, including contracts for services authorized by Section 9 of the U.S. Code, without regard to any other provision of law regarding public contracts. No bid, sweetheart deals. Halliburton can be brought in to rescue us from this mess that Wall Street made of its own. And now the vultures are circling. And I knew it was a sign. Last Wednesday night, as I arrived home, there were about a dozen turkey vultures that had taken up positions in the trees around our house. I didn't find the carcass that drew them there. Maybe they were waiting for their share of the bailout. But here they are circling. Blackstone Group, controlled by former Republican Commerce Secretary Pete Peterson. PIMCO, BlackRock, J.P. Morgan Chase, the Bank of New York Mellon. They hope to pick up about $1 billion a year each, helping to manage the Treasury Department's unfettered, unrestricted bailout program that you and I get to pay for. 888-5-PETER-B, call me. Let me know your thoughts. Your outrage is appreciated. And anything you can do to spread the word and let your member of Congress or the Senate know that you will not accept this, I'll be much obliged. We'll go to Paula in Coos Bay next, listening to KBBR. Hi, Paula.
Hi. Gosh, why weren't you playing Ring of Fire? I feel like I've been burned.
You want Ring of Fire? I'll get that
That's
on for
what
you.
I feel like.
I got it in my Johnny Cash collection, and I'll I'll play it for you after the break.
I would love that.
All right.
Well, we are just victims. I was on the board of a credit union for many years, and this risk-based lending issue, I think credit unions are tied up in it because we're pretty well regulated. I'm not affiliated with anybody in that respect now. But for a long time, you have seen banking people taking the money out from these loans, and it's not an overnight thing. It's going to take a while to fix.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, everybody's pension is tied up with all this.
That's right.
And we certainly can't afford another Enron. Those people never have been dumped.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, however, that this could qualify under the RICO laws. I think it is actually syndicated and conspiracy-based.
Racketeering,
and I think it should fall under the RICO laws, and I think we should gather up the board of directors of these banks.
And send them to Gitmo. Let's send them to Gitmo. They can stop off in Miami, and Don Johnson will escort them over there. I got to run to a break, Paula. Thanks for your call. More of your calls coming up in the free speed zone. Also, an activist from Sacramento will accept your email, bundle it together with others, and send it to our electeds in Washington. She'll join us coming up in the next segment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The free speed zone is yours at 888-5-PETER-B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yep, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen intently to you? Looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the 2nd and 4th Sundays of October from 12 to 3. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 15-minute diagnostic evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula,
has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale and am currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
You can never have too much cash, especially Johnny Cash, by request for Paula in Coos Bay.
Love is a burning thing. And it makes a fiery ring.
Somebody call my broker. Move to cash. Move to cash.
Bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire.
Oh, and the broker responded, you don't got no cash.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire.
And let's just give credit where credit is due. My friend Tom Hartman was on the air earlier today sounding the alarm similarly about Section 8 of this proposal from the Treasury Department. And he was prescient. He named one of his most recent books Screwed. And thus it has come to pass. I get occasional emails from a person I have never met. I don't believe I've ever talked to him. Colin Charette is a retired Air Force colonel, lives in Texas. He nails it in two or three sentences. Instead of giving the $700 billion directly to the financial organizations, I recommend paying off the mortgages that are in jeopardy to these financial organizations, rewriting a sensible and affordable loan to the homeowners with them paying back into the Treasury their monthly payments. This way, the financial institutions have money to work with, the homeowner keeps their home, with payments going back to Uncle Sam. Along with this, regulations for these institutions to follow in making new loans. Common sense. It's easy. But that's not what we're going to get. As I mentioned at the top of this hour, Sunday night I was in Sacramento at the annual dinner of the Teach Peace Foundation, and they were kind enough to give me an award for our broadcast work here, and I am very much appreciative of that. But instead of the usual thanking Allah and Jesus Christ and my mom, I took the moments I had before this group of activists to sound the alarm about Section 8 of the Treasury Department's proposal. this incredible power grab for the executive authority that makes Dick Cheney aroused. And it was fascinating to see the reaction. Dr. Bill Durston, who's running against Dan Lundgren for Congress this year, was there, and he said, Peter, can I see a copy of that? I gave him my little crib notes. Activist Bill Lockemacher, who I've met on several occasions and emailed with, was there, and he asked me for a copy of it too, but he had spent his Friday welcoming Karl Rove to Sacramento with a protest group. And also during some of the proceedings, this woman who joins us now, Judith Plank, came up to me and left me a note, and she has offered to bundle your email comments because she recognizes how busy everybody is, and she's pretty busy herself. I've talked to her twice today, and she's active for Obama, and she's making calls for Move On, and she has found room in her schedule to try to facilitate your expression of opinion to our leaders in Washington. Judith, thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
And thanks for the offer you've made. Now, what I'm going to do with your permission here is give out your email address because it's simple and easy for people to capture, even if they're driving.
Exactly. It's short and simple. Mm-hmm.
And the invitation is that people can send their comments to you, and let's keep them brief, you know, one or two paragraphs, but be pointed about your issues, about the bailout, about the constitutional power grab, or whatever you consider to be the most offensive part of it. And put that in written form and email it to Judith. Her email address is simple, jpkatz, C-A-T-S, J-P, her initials, Katz. We suspect she's a feline-friendly individual, at cal.net. That's cal.net. So jpkatz at cal.net. And you know how political operators bundle contributions to make themselves more influential? Well, this is a different tack, but you're going to be bundling the comments of listeners from the Peter B. Collins Show. And
absolutely.
Send them to Washington. Now, do you have an active email list of all the congressional representatives from California, for example?
I have it in three different drawers, and I'm going to consolidate tonight and take care of that. And I think it's real important. You know, many of us have great intentions, but we all are all busy, and we sometimes, you know, don't have the time to look up all these addresses. So I'm trying to make it easy for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Great.
So.
All right, Judith. Well, I want to thank you for your activism, and I know you've been talking to people about this today. What kind of reactions did you get?
Oh, people are excited. I think it's a great idea because, you know, I think all of us, as active as we are, we've often sometimes not done those postcards or emails or letters just because, oh my God! I gotta look up an address. I gotta look up an email. So this should make it easier. And there's a lot of excitement. Also, evidently, VoteNoBailout.org is sending emails around too that they're going to help with some email stuff.
Yeah, so, I got one of those today, and I don't know exactly who they are.
I'm not sure either.
Their email and their website doesn't disclose. They're on the right track, but I just wanted to say that I wasn't able to really affirm who they are, so I didn't want to put that out there. But people, or, you know, check it out for yourself. I don't think there's any harm in that. They are a pro-impeachment group, and I certainly second that sense. So
absolutely, impeachbush.org. But yeah, so I'm excited, and I'm a hard-working volunteer of Teach Peace also, and I'm really glad you were there last night. But let's do it. I just want to encourage everyone, don't worry about addresses. Send the email. Pour out your emotions, your logic, whatever you want to do. It is I like the common sense proposal you were talking about a few minutes ago, too. That sounds really great.
All right,
Judith. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to take your emails and send them on their way.
Thank you. So. I appreciate that, and you keep doing it, and thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'm going to repeat that address, and we're also going to put it up on our website, but we actually won't update the site till tomorrow. So jpkatz, J-P-C-A-T-S, at cal.net. jpkatz at cal.net. That's Judith Plank, and I appreciate Judith stepping forward to help facilitate your response. And right after the show tonight, I'm going to send an email there, and I welcome you on board as we do our best to get the attention of our leaders and say, don't sell us out again, particularly on the critical constitutional issues. That's what really matters to me. Ben and Salinas, you're on the air, sir. Go ahead.
You know what, Peter? The people that are presently occupying those houses, they should be allowed the first right of refusal to repurchase the houses at the devalued price, which my study tells me they're going to be cashed out somewhere between 10 cents and 22 cents on the dollar. Okay, let the present occupants repurchase their own houses at 25 cents on the dollar, and let the payments be made to a trust fund. Okay, the boards of directors and CEOs of these countries that are aiding the looting of our treasury, let their assets be seized and held pending outcome of litigation in civil and criminal court. Now, let me take you back to Janet Reno.
All right, Ben, hold your thought there, because I think you're on the right track here. I think if we are honest and identify that the problem of Wall Street is the unknown exposure and liabilities that they have to troubled mortgages, all right? So if we bail out the homeowners, we take that liability off of the balance sheets of the Wall Street firms that are foundering and floundering and bleeding right now.
Yeah.
And that, I believe, is the perfect approach to this. The only problem is that those people don't have any political clout, they don't have lobbyists, and they don't make campaign contributions. So we have to reject your idea. We can't bail out the individuals, because we've got to bail out the people who pay for politics in this
country. That's so wrong, but you know what? Remember Janet Reno and the SNL crisis? 12,500 indictments in the state of Texas alone. Janet Reno comes out. The cost of litigation would be prohibitive, therefore they got, none of them had to return the money and none of them went to jail. Now, this is fundamentally flawed and wrong. And you know what? Bush and Cheney and Sue with us yet. There's something else in the cooker. This shock and awe we're going through now is nothing compared to what these right around the corner. They still have that executive decision proclamation number 51.
Yeah.
In that proclamation, he takes over the military, he suspends Congress, takes over the banks, all the airplanes, all the buses. That is de facto martial law. And Kucinich, why isn't this man being put for president? Holy cow, he's the only one showing any true grit and courage. These criminals need to go to jail. And, you know, they're going to come out and say, using the Janet Reno method, well, we can't afford the cost of litigation. Hey, there's 800,000 people in prison for smoking a joint and doing a line of coke, personal use, non-dealers. There's no problem with sticking them in jail at 40 grand a year, huh?
Yeah. Ben, thank you very much. And, you know, Ben is absolutely correct here. We've got this 100% ass backwards. The problem is troubled mortgages. And we are going to bail out the people who wrote those loans, the people who blended them together into this ground beef mixture. And I want to credit David K. Johnston, the former New York Times business reporter, who interrupted me a couple of weeks back in an interview, and I said, you know, those mortgage-backed securities where they bundled the really prime ones with the subprime ones, that was brilliant, wasn't it? And he said the analogy is hamburger. He said, you got two little packages in your refrigerator, one of them's turning green and the other one isn't. He said, would you mix them together to make a meatloaf or a burger? And so we are approaching this 100% backwards. And this is where Naomi Klein's theories about disaster capitalism have such resonance. We could see this coming. It's been predicted. They could see the trend in these subprime mortgages as they were ratcheting up and people couldn't afford them. And they let the problem fester. Until we have this crisis right before an election, right before a congressional recess. Johnny on the spot to the rescue, we get this bailout plan complete with the power grab to enhance executive authority. And it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't keep people in their homes. It simply bails out the rich, the wealthy investors who are enjoying the higher returns from subprime mortgages. No disgorgement of their profits, no return of the excessive salaries and pensions and golden parachutes of the creeps who created this whole mess? Let's go to David in San Francisco. Hi, David. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter. You know, let's see. A little while ago, before Ben, you were talking about the contractors that
right.
would be hired to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Randy Rhodes was talking about this earlier. If I remember right, Paulson is quoted this morning as saying that they've already hired 200 contracting companies to deal with this.
Hey, they don't sleep on the weekends.
I'm telling you.
That guy's been really busy every weekend for the last 6 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, they're out there hustling. That's the whole name of the game.
So did they have one of those bidding fairs or a contractor fair, or was it just like, let's see who's in my cell phone here. Let me call my buddy over there. Hey, you want a piece of the bailout?
Well,
come on, line up at the trough.
You know, this whole thing, do you remember Jack Abramoff? They were claiming that they didn't know who Jack Abramoff was, and Bush finally admitted that he might have met him or been in the room with him 2 times.
Yeah.
Well, it turned out he had been in the White House at least 600 times, according to White House records. So, you know, Jack Abramoff was originally on his transition team, and
yeah.
his transition team was the, you know, if you wanted to get a cushy job in Washington, you'd have to give a bribe to Jack Abramoff in order to get a, you know, a little piece of the action. Are you still there?
Yeah, but I guess the NSA is on your line, David.
Yeah, there you go. I just trained another one. I'm probably a battery dying. Hey, one last thing. Ben was just talking about the great idea, and it essentially was very similar to what Jubilee is. And, you know, they're giving Jubilee to the banks and these financial institutions and canceling the debt.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, they're actually not canceling the debt. They're making us pay the debt.
Well, they're nationalizing the losses without taking control of the institutions or giving equity to the people who are going to absorb those losses.
Well, right. And so this whole thing, I mean, Ben's idea is actually really brilliant in a
yeah.
lot of ways because, you know, if you there's a statistic that shows that if you've got an empty house in your neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're a stable guy, you've got a stable job, and everybody in your neighborhood does, but just one guy goes belly up and has to get evicted,
yeah.
That's going to bring down your value and everybody else's value as much as 9%.
Maybe
so,
more.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. If there are two houses, if there are 15 houses, you know, it's a relative collapse in the whole region. So
mm-hmm.
everybody else's collateral will start to diminish solely because you've got one empty house in your neighborhood. So if you look at Ben's idea, keeping those people in those houses will
right.
keep the collateral up.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
it won't. Yep, I got to run to a break, but it won't even be considered because the focus is on bailing out Wall Street, not the real Americans who are suffering through this crisis. 888-5-PETER-B, there's room for your call. Don't hold back. Let me know your thoughts about the bailout and the power grab. 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show. Yeah.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. This is Billy Sunshine with the KRXA 540 traffic and weather update. In Monterey, northbound 101, just north of 5th Street, there is a hazard in the road. Wood slats are reported in all lanes. As well as Monterey, on Harkins Road at 5th Street again, there is a small traffic collision. And we still have Route 1, that's northbound, just south of State Park Drive, is still not open completely, just one lane moving and moving very slowly there. It's not supposed to be totally open till 8 o'clock tonight, folks. Try to miss that if you can. And the weather? Well, it's beautiful as usual. It's going to continue to be beautiful, plenty of sunshine, and warmer. Remember, you're listening to KRXA, where there's sunshine in almost every forecast. Back to the Peter B. Collins Show, and stick around for the Scott Dick Show, following Peter B.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays,
following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, the Scott Dick Show. Weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today on the CBS Evening News, correspondent Chuck Reed aired footage of John McCain accusing Barack Obama of being part of the Washington lobbying culture, without mentioning McCain's lobbying ties.
But while McCain's speech was billed as a policy address, he spent much of his time bashing Barack Obama.
The crisis on Wall Street, my friends, started in the Washington culture of lobbying and influence peddling, and he was right square in the middle of it.
Reed failed to note that at least 83 of McCain's aides, policy advisors, and fundraisers have lobbied for the financial industry that McCain now attacks. They include several high-level officials, including McCain's campaign manager, Rick Davis, who served as president of the Home Ownership Alliance, a Washington-based anti-regulation advocacy group, which includes Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's A Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
Glove, glove, glove.
If you are not
rescue me, will you please? I need a bailout.
And when I need to dominate,
my house is underwater.
Boy, you see that I'm
and it's not a houseboat.
For a life of understanding, and you forgive my angry little heart when she's demanding. You bring me to my knees while I'm scratching out the eyes of a world I want to conquer and deliver and despise. And right while I am kneeling there, I suddenly begin to care and understand that there could be a person that loves me.
Holy cow, we're really popular in Coos Bay today. Our second call, it's Mildred. Welcome, Mildred. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
Well, I'm not a financial expert, and I'm not a lawyer, but with this financial bailout, you know, logically, there's some stuff that could be done that would work out for everybody. If the government is going to loan money to these corporations, or give it, they should loan it instead of give it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the corporations should pay back to the government by forgiving all the loans and stuff on people's houses and medical expenses and whatever else, so that our economy can keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that, like you said, and other people talked about too, all the creeps that have made money on all of these shady deals, they, you know, shouldn't be allowed to jump ship like rats and take their golden parachutes and all of that. And these corporations and everything should be taxed every time they move money around to make money. And finally, the corporations that have gone offshore should also be taxed. Too bad. You're offshore. You're still making money off the American people. You get to pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, it's time for us to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan, the big black financial holes that have been helping to tip the economy into a potential depression.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can yak about terrorists and all this other stuff, but which is worse?
Now, Mildred, I agree with all your points. Do you think the American sheeple are prepared to see Iraq as purely the economic boondoggle that you just described and to say, we can't afford that, no mo? And will that cause them to reject McCain?
And, you know, it would have to be kind of like a propaganda thing, which, you know, calls into pulling on people's emotions, giving them the facts, too.
Mm-hmm.
People do wake up. because the alternative is another Great Depression. And if there's no social supports or anything to protect the American public, we all go down the drain, and it'll be much, much worse with people living homeless, starving, and all of that stuff, and people not being able to get medications and dying and all of that. Which is worse, the threat of a terrorist or a big financial calamity happening? And the last point is this government should reinstitute all of FDR's social financial protections for the American public. And, you know, there's a lot of steps that rashly, if you think about it, can be taken instead of, you know, going off half-cocked and just, you know, passing money off to these big corporations, which is just another way to say, well, you can go back at it again and we can have another one of these because the government will pay you off and the taxpayers will pay for your bad business practices.
Yeah, I want them to bail me out. I've got some stranded costs. Mildred, thank you very much. You make excellent points. Billy's on the line from Capitola or somewhere nearby.
Boy, you have the smartest people in the world, those Coos-based people.
They are really smart, yeah.
Clearly, that's a better deal than the one that they're trying to get us to sign.
Yes, it is.
Oh, my God. You know, I wanted to address my fellow suckers. You know, if they have to have this, then they have to give us whatever we ask for. It's time that we demand some things. Because if, you know, if they say we'll do it later, oh, that's the biggest lie in the world. Republicans haven't learned a thing. They'll continue to start talking about the free market again as soon as you turn your back on them. So I don't understand the problem with holding them up until they give us exactly what we ask for, and it ought to be plenty.
Well, the threat is that if AIG had gone down, the airlines would have had to ground their fleets.
Okay.
And, well, yeah, I mean, this is really how free market capitalism should work. And you let these events happen, and the market will find its way. We are too big of a market for the either domestic corporations or the world to ignore. And so when people, I was listening to Bill Wattenberg last night, and he's, you know, offering this condescending and very dire set of scenarios. And, hey, when companies fail, bankruptcy works, and the viable parts are picked up by somebody else and turned into a profitable enterprise. And we're not permitting that to happen. And it's stunning that it's lefties who are lecturing the corporate class on the rules of capitalism. It just bends my mind. Billy, I got to run. Thanks a lot.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
We'll do it again tomorrow. In the meantime, email your congressperson or send it to jpcats@cal.net.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis. And as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
We are not sending a blank check to Wall Street.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi warning that financial firms will pay a price for a government bailout. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports Democrats want to rein in Wall Street executives.
Under the Democrats' plan, companies who participate in the bailout must agree to limit executive pay, bonuses, and severance packages. Wall Street barons are among America's highest paid. The CEO of Goldman Sachs last year made $70 million. His counterpart at J.P. Morgan made nearly $28 million, and the head of Merrill Lynch, $24 million. While the plan does not spell out how compensation would be capped, and it's not known which companies will take the bailout, critics want to make sure top money men don't further profit from the taxpayer-funded rescue.
That rescue will add hundreds of billions to the national debt. That's brought the dollar to its lowest level in 9 years against the euro. Consequently, the price of oil is sharply higher. Today, crude jumped $16 to nearly $121 a barrel. Gold is up $43 an ounce, and stocks are sharply lower. The Dow lost 372 points to close at 11,015. Stephen Wood, senior portfolio strategist at Russell Investments, says the volatility will continue for a while.
There's a lot to digest, and markets are trying to regain footing in what appears to be a new financial order.
John McCain and Barack Obama have been trading charges, but today, CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports the presidential candidates found themselves on common ground.
Both warned that the administration's economic plan falls short because of a lack of oversight.
We cannot give a blank check to Washington with no oversight and no accountability, when no oversight and accountability is exactly what got us into this mess in the first place.
This arrangement makes me deeply uncomfortable. We won't solve a problem caused by poor oversight with a plan that has no oversight.
McCain and Obama also sounded similar themes in demanding that the rescue plan keep the focus on average Americans on Main Street, not the titans of Wall Street. Chip Reed, CBS News, Media, Pennsylvania.
A New York judge ruled today that former CBS News correspondent Dan Rather can proceed with his $70 million lawsuit against the network. Rather claims breach of contract.